All right. So we're going to take the roll call basically as we're still basically all online. I think, Linda, you know who's here with us right now still, so let's just move right on through this, shall we? This meeting is now in session for our...
Excuse me for interrupting. The only one that has left that I know of is Phil Hall. Is that correct?
That's what I'm under the same assumption.
Yeah, that looks like it.
Okay. All right. Well, it is now 10:37. This meeting is now in session for the board meeting for January. We are not going to, I've got a question for the board. During our last meeting, during the approval of the minutes for November, there was a lot of board members in attendance that read them because they did not previously read them. Do we have approval on those minutes for November as they were read last month during our meeting?
I thought that we did approve those.
I don't think we approved them.
Jody, you listened to the audio?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember at the beginning, did we vote and approve the minutes or table it?
I just couldn't tell you that. I would not remember that.
I asked Ryan that question. He says, no, we all passed the papers around to read because nobody had them yet, and it was never approved.
Well, that was because Jody wasn't present, I think.
Pardon?
Because Jody was to supply more information.
So my question now is, do we have an official approval for those minutes for November?
Well, let's fix it if we don't. I make a motion that we approve the November minutes.
I'm going to second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's three.
Any opposed? So we're going to write down five voted for it.
All right. So be it. There we go. Approval for December meetings, minutes. I have not seen them yet, and I do not think they exist. Is this correct?
No, they were sent out, and this is where we got to fix this. Shauna had an email that went out on Tuesday. What date was Tuesday? Hold on.
January 8th.
The 8th. She sent an email to some on the 8th and then also then sent one on the 10th and attached to that was... the actual minutes. Dave Turley was the only one that responded and said that, yes, he did approve it, but I never got the one from Tuesday. It was Thursday before I got the copy that was attached. I can forward that, but I looked back in the email thread, and I was not included on the Tuesday. And so, you know, Shauna said, hey, nobody's answering 12 hours later and acted frustrated that nobody had responded to approve it, but it only went to... I don't know if she thought that Linda was going to forward it to everyone or what.
I received it on the Thursday as well.
Did you get it on Tuesday?
No, I got it on Thursday.
On Thursday?
Right.
Let me look at my thing. I can forward it to everybody, but at this point I think we're going to have to table it. We can kind of refer to it or whatever, but to take the time to read it right now, I think we need to move forward and spend our time fixing this problem than going back and band-aiding the past.
I might say, Ben, I have read what I got, and there are several errors on it.
Okay, well, then that's enough to say I make a motion to table the December minutes till we can read them and correct them and look at revising them and approving them next month.
And I did not get them. I just checked my email. I did not get them on my new email. Maybe she sent them to my old one. I need to make sure that she has changed. Everybody else has changed their email notification to me. So,
I second your motion.
Okay, motion seconded to table it till next meeting.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, moving forward then.
Are you still at ERA Mobile 1 at Embark Mail?
No, I
see. Hey, that's what she had in here, so.
No, I should be on the Gmail. Everybody's been hitting me on the Gmail.
Right, okay, well, that's what Shauna still had, so I will forward it to you just so that you have it.
Thank you.
Clarification, we're tabling December meetings?
Yes.
December minutes, I'm sorry?
Yes.
Table till next.
In November, what happened with that? I got a call.
We approved it with 5 votes. I made the motion to approve it, and did Mark vote second?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Next on the agenda is the financial report from Linda. And this minute thing should be resolved now because it is taken care of.
I just muted mine. Okay, your financial reports were sent to you by an email last night. Profit and loss, budget versus actual for December, and also the check detail for December. It also went to Vance. It shows that we ended up with just under $5,000 at the end of the year. The budgeted, we were under the budget by about $5,000. So far this, sorry?
Okay.
So far this year, we have taken in $37,000, and there's about, I've got some others that, a deposit that hasn't been put in yet that just came yesterday for a little over $4,000 also to go in. So that would bring us up into the $40,000 range so far in our coffers this year.
Can these numbers be out early? I haven't had time to review either the profit and loss or the check register from last night.
I apologize for having them this late. Generally, they are earlier than that. Well, generally, you get them at the meeting, actually.
And
if we do a conference.
They get them at the meeting, and they're saying, hurry, hurry, hurry. I think that it is almost not worth having.
We're going to fix that, too. Linda, where on the agenda do we discuss that schedule that you and I talked about? Or do we want to do it now?
We can do it now.
Well, I don't, if you have it somewhere on the agenda, but I think that's one of the critical things to get through today and set some new goals and a little bit of a process that we can all agree to and start out the year a lot better.
I would like that, too, because, like I said, if we have that and we don't have to spend that time reading it at the meeting, then we can help expedite the over length of our over meeting.
Okay, so we can look through the budget. We're early enough that obviously we have a bunch of money, and so Linda, let's take our time, on financials. And again, I sent out my discussion and wording on minutes and stuff. Will you go over what we discussed, and then let's discuss and see if everybody agrees with that.
The discussion was to have the minutes. The agenda sent out and 15 days ahead of time, or the recall for agenda 15 days ahead of time, and then have the information submitted to me that you want on the agenda, and ultimately send it out only 3 days ahead of time for use with everything on there. Send it out again in the middle sometimes so that everybody can approve what's on there, and then 3 days ahead to be posted. That was the discussion that you and I had.
Well, let me go over it. Here's where I think a good rhythm is for the month. And we'll use, from December to January. We met in December on a Saturday. I would like to see that from Saturday, we go through the weekend and we all recuperate. Between Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, three business days. And again, I'm not saying that some of this may need to be juggle some job description so that it's fair to Linda and the time she's spending, but that Linda prepares the minutes based off of her by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday, she gets them to Shauna Cox or whoever is the secretary. Shauna is good at taking her own minutes or notes while she's here, and she corrects them. And in her absence, she can designate a board member that was there to correct them. Once they're corrected or approved by the secretary, who is supposed to take the minutes or at least be responsible, then they are given to, then they're emailed to Vance, to Post, and the board. We do not wait for all board members to approve them. We are not approving the minutes. The secretary should have the authority to at least approve them, to the point of being sent out for everybody then to review. And we get that out with the absolute deadline by the following Friday. So within 7 days or 6 days from Saturday to the next Friday, those are out so that we all can start working on our tasks, our to-do lists, our assignments, and things. Because, again, the minutes that we got on Thursday, I had no time to do anything by today. And then we go through the month and work on everything, knowing that at last a Saturday meeting in December, we pick the date and time. You know, I proposed to do this 8 o'clock meeting for the PCNRs. We should have at that time pinned down whether it was a face meeting or a conference call. You know, in case of an emergency, we can change. But we all need to be able to schedule 30 days out for those that are traveling and different things and know whether we're meeting in Kanab or at the ranch or it's a phone call. That should have been determined a full month ahead. And then I don't think, you know, and so then we work through the month. And then, Linda, it wasn't 15, but 10 days out, like you have to call for agenda items. We don't reply to all on emails. You can call or you can email directly to Linda what you have in your area, and she builds that agenda based on what we bring up. But a lot of it, and that's where I think the disconnect is, if Linda is producing the minutes in that next 7 days from last meeting, she is also starting and building the agenda for the next month's meeting based on assignment reports, tasks reports, unfinished business automatically goes on the next agenda. And then she sends out that agenda, say, Wednesday or Thursday, not Friday, but so that everybody has 48 hours of business time to either call, discuss things, research, before the Saturday meeting. But there's no way to produce an agenda, 2 weeks out, because all we keep, and so we have a strict rule. Linda only sends out one agenda. Not, I've had all these meetings, I've had somewhere between 3 to 7 different agendas sent out with revisions. If there's an emergency, any board member has the authority to bring it up and discuss it, but the agenda is built based on the business from a month before and the things that have come up, like this letter we've got from members. Some of those things only happen 3-4 days before the meeting. There's no way they could have gone on agenda 10 days out. And so I know that there's some concern of members that want to attend the meetings of knowing what's going on. I don't think that that's the case. Whether it's the Bozés or any of these members, the members know what the topics are going to be discussed 30 days out, because we make that goal on major things that they would really affect them, like the PCNR review. Everybody knew that 30 days out. They can either get that from listening to the audio, which Vance posts almost right away, or by reading the minutes that would have been posted within 7 days. So that's the schedule that I think, and if we stick to that, it avoids a lot of the duplicate, repetitive emails that we all get confused in. It avoids the frustration of Linda or Vance not being able to post minutes that, one, aren't even produced, or, second, we're still waiting for many people on the board to approve them. The board is going to approve them at the next meeting. They just need to be good enough for at least the secretary to say they're not completely erroneous, or, you know, at least a second set of eyes have looked at them and compared to their notes if there was a motion missed or something, that we get that in there. That's my recommendation.
I like that recommendation because that should also help us speed up our process of our meetings, too, which is my new goal.
And I would like to, I like that whole proposal. I would like to change a number that you brought up, that instead of 3 days before the meeting we have the agenda, can we make the cutoff for everybody's input on the seventh day before, so we have it 7 days before the meeting to allow us to get prepped for that meeting? I really need that time to prep.
But what, here's the problem. The earlier we make that cutoff, the earlier, for example, we got this letter from a member. I don't think we even had it 7 days out. What that means is we have now put them out 5 weeks before they get to the next month's meeting and have a response.
Can't that be added on as something that needs to be handled that came in after the agenda was made?
Well, we can do that and still just have an area, and if we agree that Linda or, you know, anybody can still bring up an emergency item and say, hey, this came up after the agenda. And so I'm fine that if the agenda, instead of Wednesday, goes out the previous Monday. So you need to have them the week before the meeting, and Linda emails out the agenda and the financials. And this would solve the problem Dale was concerned with on Monday. And so you have that whole week then to review. You would have had the minutes 3 weeks out, and the financials and the minutes, you know, by Monday, which is fine. Then you have that whole 5 day week to study, prepare for a Saturday meeting.
Yes, that would be great.
This agenda number 13 says other requested agenda discussion items. So it's there at a time when we can introduce any other cats and dogs that may have come in after the agenda was printed.
Well, I think we need to limit the cats and dogs.
Yeah, that opens a can of worms.
Yeah, I think we need to cut it off on the 7th or whatever, Monday, so everybody has the plan and the financials on Monday, and then the only thing that would get added to the agenda after that time before the meeting would be any input, member letters or emergency situations.
I think we need the flexibility.
Cats and dogs are emergency, maybe.
Could be, could be.
I agree with Dale.
Then we're not going to solve the problem of the last-minute agendas flying back and forth the night before.
Well, and if we do, I don't mind them being on there as an emergency, and if we feel comfortable, let's make a decision and address it like a response to a member's letter. If it's a big issue, then we say, all right, this is one that came in last minute, we've brought it up, we're aware of it, but we're going to table making any action on it for till next month. We can all make that decision case by case.
Sure, we can. We can make critical go on, everything else can wait till the next month.
I agree.
I'm agreeing with that. Okay. I like the new little agenda then.
Yeah, Mark, this is Vance. Yeah, I'm doing the happy dance here if you guys stick to this, trust me.
You and me both, we'll dance together.
Well, and it comes back, Vance, on posting minutes. You are then to, if you don't have it, follow up with Linda and Shauna. And so that, again, those emails, that's the only person. And if you're not, I'm happy, you know, where I'm here in Kanab to go and, you know, call or hunt down somebody or whatever. If we aren't following that, I think we then push harder until we learn, you know, it'll take some time to form new habits.
Yeah, well, so in effect, you're giving me permission to nag you guys if you don't stick to the schedule. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
I can do that.
Please.
I'm just kidding. You know, I already do, sort of. It's like, hello, you know, and I've got three. Can I please have four? You know, I'll still mostly do that, and I'm trying to be very careful because of that issue where we had, it was about a year and a half ago, where a draft set of minutes came out. It wasn't presented to me as such. It got up on the website. A bunch of people got really freaked out. You know, I'm really, really trying not to do that, but at the same time, my mind reading skills are not very good.
Okay. All right.
Do we put a motion on that?
That's my motion.
I make Jody, you making a motion to accept the new agenda as Ben has described it?
Okay, I was going to reword it, but that's fine. Should I? Should I reword it?
Pretty much as Ben and Linda are going to change our process.
Well, I think, Jody, if you have a modification, and let's just make a task or a motion assignment to Linda to type that up and then have it as part of next month's, where we have it in writing to actually officially vote and you know, make it basically a policy
okay.
to follow.
Okay, we can do that. So we'll,
okay.
Nice,
also
good.
On that, then, I've had some deep thinkings on how some of these meetings I would like to see change and go. Based on that, I would like to see what the board thinks about adding right in here and right into the beginning, just kind of like they do in the town meetings. We open a discussion from the members first, and then we carry that thing through somewhere in the line here, so we don't have to go backwards and forwards on a lot of these issues. We hear our members right up front, hear their concerns, and then as we get to those during our areas of responsibilities, we can address those issues and pretty much let the members speak and then let the board do our job in resolving that issue and move right forward with things.
Seems like we're being redundant. If we have an agenda, they can see that their issue can come up later on, and they'll wait and address it then. If it doesn't come up during the entire meeting, then they bring it up at the end.
Part of that redundancy as we're going to go with it is kind of put the time limit to everything so that we don't keep beating the dog back and forth and arguing over for an hour. I want to put a time limit restriction from the members to discuss and then let it go to the board. Is that out of hand? Is that out of line?
Was that Dave?
Yes, it was.
I like that approach because you're right. We would address it once, then we'd have to go over it again when we got to that on the agenda. I think makes more sense.
We would be skipping and jumping around on our agenda.
Okay, it was a thought. They're going to try to make a happy dance.
But we should absolutely put that member input in. You know, members are encouraged to ask questions or their concerns during that item, the agenda item, and then if it's not covered, do it at the end. Yes.
To clarify what I need to do different and better was is during to each as we come into each level of responsibility, I'm going to ask for the any members that are either on the teleconference or in person to throw in their input first before Ben gives his wildlife and agriculture report.
Well, wait a minute. Why aren't these members adding something to the agenda item during the month? A lot of these things come up anyway. And to be efficient, it should either be an agenda item anyway, or if it's not, like some of these last minute things, then it's something that if it isn't being covered during the meeting, then there's time given at the end. To that specific issue.
Yeah, I think if it's something that takes board approval, it should be on the agenda. We may have a minute, member welcome, that if somebody just has a comment or something that came up, they can, you know, mention it. But again, if they get into a topic that is on the agenda that needs action, we just say, hey, we'll address that here. And so some members that just want to attend and kind of get the beginning of it, get the report from the on-site caretaker and stuff, then they may choose to leave halfway through the meeting, or if they need to, you know, interest in our topic, they're going to have to wait till we do, so we're not bouncing around.
Okay. I was just throwing that up. And anything else on the financial report from Linda and or anything else that we've just discussed before we move on?
Yes. Sorry. I need a completed budget so that I can give you a proper budget versus actual at the next meeting.
Well, that's okay.
Do we want to do that at the end of the meeting today, or do you want to do it now, or you want to cut?
Let's do it now.
Let's do it now.
What you're saying is we still have a $2,000 deficit unbalanced budget, right?
That's correct.
And I do agree that it is bad business and bad, to have an unbalanced budget. So where can we can because there was miscommunication and this is one thing we need to fix. But at this point, I don't think there is a vote or a consensus agreement for a $25 special assessment. There are several areas. We all know we're going to juggle this throughout the year, but at least to have something printable, where can we cut $2,000?
Yes, that's
well, there's areas we look at on this budget that, as I've helped do this last one, there's areas we put on budget we never even touched anyways. So we're looking at where we're going to cut budget from different items, which were never some of us we may not even get to. And here we still ended up with a little bit in the excess from last year. I understand your point. It's not good business to show off to start up a bad deficit. But what do you guys think? Where do you guys think we could do something on there? I know where we can do two of it right now. But I mean, I want to hear you guys.
Thought on that too. And Mark, for what you just said. Yes, there's some of the things we never got to on the budget, but then that took care of the places that we overspent on the budget. So it all washes out at the end. And, I don't want to go in again with a negative, because if we end up going in with a negative 2,000, we're going to end up being negative 5,000. But I know...
If we know we're in a negative, we know we're going to have to try to be tight all year long and try to overcome that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that our solve, without cutting anything... out of our budget from the expenditures we've wanted to do, go back to the income and help me understand. We've got assessments paid, and that's split to 60-40. That number of budget for $131,652, how much of that is 2013 assessments versus back due assessments collected?
I'm not seeing your number,
right,
Ben. What line are you on?
Aren't we looking at a couple
page one
that we're
going to
bring in?
Yeah, I'm just looking at page one of Linda's budget to actual. Well, that's through 2012, I guess.
Actual. Yeah, this is for 2012.
Yeah, I need to find a 2013 budget, but because I don't have one here in front of me. My point is, we have already so far collected a big chunk of money on this one lot that was in bankruptcy. Linda, have you actually deposited that? Is that in these figures?
No, these figures are for 2012.
You report how much money we had in the bank or how much in assessments we've already received.
Yeah, that was in that through $37,000 that was reported.
Okay, and did that include the $5,000?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Well, my point is, some of these big collections, and that's one we know for sure because we have the money and it's in the bank, I don't think we budgeted that much in arrears assessments. And I think that would cover our $2,000 deficit by raising what we're going to collect, and we know we'll collect it because we already have it in the bank.
Exactly.
How much was that?
Linda, it was $5,000 total, just over $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
But, that was, $2,000 or whatever in membership fees and over 3,000 in attorney's fees that we had not budgeted by last meeting because it was not a for sure. So just to bump our income, 2,000, that, you know, solves our need of having a balanced budget.
Okay, so then I will get with Linda on that and write those numbers in the 2013 budget worksheet, and that should complete.
Right. So I think that'll solve it, and we move forward and keep our expenditures where we are.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay, moving on.
All right. So I guess, Linda, we can. So that helps you, and we can move on. There's no other questions, correct?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Took a phone call from Chris a little bit ago. He should be here shortly. He had some issues getting everything fired up and started. We had a serious freeze snap up there, froze water pipes in the cabin, ranch house, froze the battery up on the generator, the well house, and they even froze up the green truck. So he's now got stuff up moving, and he's en route to us. So we're going to move his ranch report back just as late as possible.
Yeah, when he gets here, we can. Mark, I did talk with Chris about today, and I told him, you know, there was really no need for him to be here at this, you know, previous meeting. And even during the board meeting, he asked me and is nervous. I mean, he is working so hard and trying to keep up with things. If we can have his report earlier in the meeting there's a lot of times that he could be here for an hour and then possibly get back to work. And if the minutes are produced within a week and he gets a copy of any other assigned action items or tasks as emailed to him, I'm not sure that he enjoys or that it's needed for him to set through a 3-4 hour meeting. He should be here for an hour and take some a report, take some direction, and then unless somebody has a different idea, he would like to then return to the ranch and get to work.
That's exactly, yes, 100% what he likes to do. He doesn't like to sit here for that long. He likes to go back and be at work. So, that's going to be awesome. Like I said, he is en route to us right now.
Today's different with the weather, but in the future, let's plan on him being here, let's say, the first hour or so. But as soon as he feels and we get into some of these other political discussions or executive session or whatever, encourage them to leave and get on with it. If there's other things that come up as a task, we can email him that specific assignment and communicate easier without him spending the whole time.
He's had deep concern about wasting time in two meetings when he could be in productive stuff. So that's
yeah.
All right, but we will get to him when he shows up here. Next item on the agenda is the fire and road protection. Linda has down here about the Title V report. You know, I did not make any further movement on here because of all the holidays. Now that all the holidays are over, I do need to see what the agenda is with my little committee. I'm going to call them my committee. My committee being Dale, Brent, and myself, and Ben. Do you guys have a time frame you know of? I know Dale was working with the county on the lower portion of Slide. And I think we needed to find out where that was going to go before we can go back to the forest and complete the paperwork for the Title V. Dale, do we know what's been done, or has it just been a holiday, been rough for anything?
I don't know what the BLM are doing, or I think that there's got to be time spent on correlating the two Title V's. It was a good meeting that you called up at the BLM office and talked about, but it seems to me that it's still all up in the air and nobody has made a final decision, and I don't know that the county and BLM have made a final decision either.
Mark,
yes?
What is your schedule in February? We're tentatively looking at a meeting on February 9th, the second Saturday.
I just didn't know if you're going to come here and if there's a chance we get together Friday afternoon where we can have a meeting back with Hugh Wolf and Mark Foley and try to, you know, work through combining, you know, and addressing both those Title V issues.
For the Saturday meeting, correct?
Right. Yeah, just while you're here in town without a special trip, the rest of us are here. Again, I know they bug out, but if we could meet with them like at 1 p.m. or something, or 2, or, you know, as late as possible, but so that they catch it on their business week, if we set that up, and then you could, you know, stay here at the ranch or whatever that weekend if you were able to come up and not make a special trip.
Yes, my schedule is more open than your guys. So if you want to double check with everything with your schedule, Ben, and proof it, bounce it off your off of Dale. I would.
Dale, are you back where you could be here Friday afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, Mark. Yeah, I would. If we can coordinate with you and see if Foley can be there for the afternoon or the 8th, let's tentatively shoot for that.
Afternoon, 8th. Okay, I'll call Hugh and see if I can set that up then.
Yeah, Ben set the whole thing up.
Would you mind sending him, Ben?
What's that? I can call him or go down and see if I can't set that up. Let me make a note.
Okay.
So I'll take that task.
Appreciate that, and I will make it, you just let me know when it's happening, and I will be present for that. All right. That's all I have on that one. Does anybody else have anything else about the fire and or road that they need to bring up while we're in the segment? All right. Then moving on. Next item. Ben, Agriculture and Wildlife.
Okay, let me look here and get my mind straight. Just a little bit of report from our last, meeting. Doug's got his cows off the ranch. I think that everything has been removed. There was this discussion and request from Alan Steed to have a portion of the ranch. Alan had called me several times, and I've talked with him and talked back with Doug. Again, Doug is just in some areas that would damage him, but I did discuss some areas of the ranch, and he said, hey, if it's an area that I don't even know about or anything, I don't want to be a dog in a manger, he said, and not be workable. Let me look at it. He was going back to Arizona for a while and said after he got back he would call me. I've not talked back with him, but I wanted to get his approval before giving his phone number to Alan, and Alan, is wanting to go through the proper channels and not, try to call Doug direct. So nothing has been worked out there, and I, Alan's a little bit anxious, but, Doug's not going to make a final decision until, a month or so from now and kind of thinking through his next schedule. But the area that I think, the stuff that Alan has requested as far as having a lot of the area down around the ranch headquarters, I don't think works at all, is stuff that Doug definitely wants and needs. And, or like the well field that I've told both of them, where we've spent money planting that, I don't think it's appropriate for any animals to be in there this next year. But it would really be over, maybe over in the Podunk area with fencing improvements, where Alan could have stuff on the private lots and the BLM, the east portion of our BLM allotment, that Podunk area really has not been used or grazed at all. So I'm still working with that to see if something can be worked out that would accommodate both but without having problems. And Doug said, hey, I would rather have Alan over there, and I encouraged him. We'd rather have Alan's cows there and him working on fences as Brinkerhoff's cows coming across there. And so he definitely agreed with that. So I will continue to work on that, but nothing finalized at this point. Let me think. I think that's the only thing to report that I had specific. We did get the renewal permit and stuff on the fish ponds, so that we're legal with the state in that. And I don't know without looking at the budget, but we'll work with Linda because we do need to go ahead and order so that we have fish delivered as early as weather permits in the spring. And you know, the roads aren't muddy, but sometimes we may need to call and have that approved here before we get, you know, before they've sold out or something.
All right.
I will be calling them.
Okay. Would you get with me, Linda, before we finalize? I'm curious to know, compared to where I was ordering fish, you know, 10 years ago when I was president, if we're still using the same company or where some of that is. So...
Ben, a quick question here. What about the proposal that was made for perch and a little bit of a variety?
Well, and what I'm not very familiar to know really what perch is, but, you know, do we want to encourage in that lower pond that gets warmer and stuff that does have some bass in it to not put any trout in there, but to try to do something more with a bass and a bluegill? You know, keep the upper colder ponds with our trout fishing and try to get some. That's where, you know, we're going to be ordering a large supply of small fish here for this big new reservoir in Kanab that they will be stocking sometime in the next few months. And, again, they're going to stock it with largemouth bass and bluegill. Does anybody have a problem, those that are interested in fishing or anyone that you hear from, of putting trout in the upper two ponds and then bass in the lower? Linda, do you know last year what we stocked where?
Last year was a real problem because they had a new driver and the fellow that normally comes didn't come, and we were right at the transition with the new managers, and so last year was not a good way of judging. We have found largemouth bass in the middle pond and mostly in the lower pond. However, they do not get very big, so you may want to consider that too. They're not really edible size from what I understand. The trout has been our best bet, and we don't have any of the other fish up in the upper pond. Try to keep trout up there. However, the upper pond has been really difficult to fish at because of the willows or whatever they are, the growth around the pond. There's not a lot of shoreline at the upper pond except on one side. So we need to consider cleaning out the shoreline and dredging. I don't know if that's a normal way of doing it, somewhere around the shoreline on the upper pond. And then just putting these bass in the lower pond, not try to put them in the middle pond, I think.
Right. Yeah, no, and that thing, I know there's some in the middle pond, but I think we still want to keep the upper two ponds, only put any of our money and encouragement in the trout, and then see on the lower pond if even stocking anymore is a benefit, or if it already has enough to grow, you know, what it's going to. You know, the trout definitely kill off when people are fishing them to eat them, or just because they are so delicate. I like to have the bass, whether they're big or not, they're just so much more hardy for kids to catch and throw on the ground and step on and then kick them back in, and they'll still live.
It's the thing to talk about, too. Before we order these fish, we need to talk with the hatchery on the issue that Linda just brought up. In the last meeting, that was one of the topics, or the last couple of topics that haven't been completed through that we've tried to discuss, was the cleaning up of those willows. Now, my question and concern is, if we get Larry or somebody in there with an excavator backhoe to scrape out and clean some of those willows, we're going to be disturbing the water and the food life quite a bit for what we got there. Are we going to be damaging... do we need to let that go for a no stock for a year and get that willows and dig that stuff out?
I don't think so. The willows, especially around the upper pond or the upper end of the upper pond and the middle pond, most of those willows we need to address by either burning them off or shredding them. The idea of dredging, those ponds, you know, where they go steep, there's no area to dredge those except for just above the dike on the upper pond where it grows those cattails and stuff. And, Mark, you know, you mowed that area so it looks nice. If we could get Alan Steed's Traco to go across that and just take bucketfuls as far as he could reach on the uphill side of the dike and dig it, and dump it across on the downhill side to, you know, reinforce the downhill side of the dike, I think would be the best thing so that, you know, you don't have 10, 15 feet of cattails that you can't drag a lure through without getting snagged. That would stir up the, you know, the muck in the stuff, but I don't think it would be detrimental to fish. But if we could do that before we stock, sometime maybe in April, if there's a dry enough time, and I don't know if Alan has a Traco up there now or not, but he has on and off. Again, we could do it with his extend-a-hole backhoe. It'll just take a little longer.
We usually get the fish in April because that's a cool time of year. He can get through with the truck. We should do it in March, not April.
Okay. Well, and that's as soon as there's not snow on the ground or something. I would like to spend a little money with whoever has some equipment. Again, Larry's backhoe could do that. You know, it'd be nice with a Traco just where it can swing around, but to spend and go across that upper dike and dig out that shallow area, the rest of the willows and stuff, it's a matter of if we can't even here in the winter, if there's a warm days where there's not, you know, a lot of fire hazard where we can spray, you know, a gas diesel mix and get some of those clumps of willows just to burn off.
I would love that. I'd love getting that thing cleaned up. I mean, yeah, and when I did mow that, I reached that mower out as far. I put that mower in some water on some of it, you know, just trying to do whatever I can. Linda's right. We need to get that stuff taken care of because you cannot fish those ponds.
Yeah, I'll work with Chris on some of the at the right time, trying to see if we can't get a fire to carry at least through some of the big clumps. Again, they'll grow back, but once we get the thick stuff, we can be a lot better just with our mower, like you did along the dike, of mowing along the side of the pond and backing it and hanging it out over the edge as far as we can.
Yes. Okay.
It's the willows and then those roses at the upper end of the upper pond, you know. It's not, you know, you can get through the willows, but it's those roses that are with the thorns that, you know, nobody's willing to trail through.
That used to be the best place to fish.
Yeah.
They've taken over, though. It's too drastic, but yes.
Right.
I think there's money somewhere in the budget. It just needs to happen, Ben.
Okay. I'll work on that.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on the wildlife and agricultural area?
Nope.
No?
No.
All right, moving on then. Chris just walked in here. I'm going to back up. We're going to go to the manager's report to get a list of or see what's going on and just get his report. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. Hey, I guess first thing I'm
going to
report, I think there's a lot of...
Can you hear Chris?
No.
No, he needs to get closer.
There, he's coming over.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my first report is we still have a lot of snow out to the ranch. I've been doing a lot of snow plowing. So far, we've... earned $600 by plowing snow for four different people out there. Rod Johnson plowed his driveway at $100. We charged $100 an hour. Tammy Levitt and her family came up. I plowed to $239. Took me 2 hours to do that. Lee Beller, $200. And Art O'Tooley was $100. Get his driveway cleared. In between plowing snow, we've been doing inventory. We're inventorying all the ranch assets, the tractors, the refrigerators. Just any of the assets that taking serial numbers down, and we're photographing these things. And also, she's doing those books for the cabins that have the brochures in there of hiking, the different gas stations, whatever we have for here locally. She's redoing those books, updating them. She's also getting an updated list of like 911 emergency numbers to fire to that she's. And then Shelly is also repainting the directional signs of the upper cabin. They're dilapidated. Some of the posts were falling down, so she's going to repaint them. I've also went around. I took a look at the doors that we had bought a couple years back. They didn't have door jams on them. So what I have done is I took one of those doors and I built a door jam to see if I could do it. And it turned out okay. So now what I want to do is we'll take Garden Cabin and Cabin 6 for sure. Doors need to be replaced to make those things run right. That's where the direction you want to go.
Keep speaking up.
So anyway, taking one door, I've made a door jam for it, kind of a prototype to see if I can do it or not. I think I can do it. I've also made some samples. We wanted to like modernize or give these cabins a better look than what they have. I've got a sample here with me with some of that barn wood that come off the roof of that barn. So after I get approval on this stuff here, then the direction I'm going to start going, the garden cabin will be the first one. I'll replace all three doors. The outer doors need to be replaced on the garden cabin. So that's where I'd start. I would replace the doors. And then also Lee Beller had winterized his trailer with some inch and a half foam board. He's donated 4x8 sheets of that. And if this stuff works out well, then I'd like to have the ranch purchase more of that to winterize the rest of the cabin that we decide that we want to leave open year-round. Because, right, my pipes froze last night and even in the ranch house.
Chris, how are you using that foam board? Is that you're talking underneath or putting it along the skirting?
Well, I would say that skirting is, if we want to reuse that wood, I would take that skirting down. What needs to happen is first kind of a framework be built where that skirting will go, put the foam board in, and then sheet it with the existing wood that's there that I've taken off, or we decide to go in a with other another look or whatever. So,
okay.
Right now, 10, 9, and 6 have no skirt. No. 9 and 10 have no skirting. 6 has skirting, and the garden cabin has skirting. But it's really bad skirting.
Well, I still, now that we've got better plumbing under, you know, 7 and 8, where we redid the bathrooms and some stuff like that,
yeah.
I still think that the only way to keep the heat, you know, or whatever, so that they're not freezing, that foam board is good around some, you know, flat areas. It is very expensive, but to look at this expanding foam insulation, you know, like you get in a little can, but, you know, it'll be much more economical to buy it like in a 1 or 2 gallon jug, but where you can, you know, underneath there, just spray the plumbing, and it will stick to the bottom of the cabin and expand so that all that has a good, you know, 6-8 inch cover over it. If you have a leak, you can always easily take a knife or a little, you know, a sheetrock saw and cut out a chunk and replace it and then foam back over it. But the insulation value is higher than anything. And I don't think that it's that, I mean, to do a whole house is expensive in the attic, but to just do where the plumbing is between floor joists and stuff, I think is the secret. We just still have never used that. So, now that you're doing a good job, if we can look into that and find a, I'd like to try it and see if it will fix some of these things without trying to insulate the entire, skirting around the whole cabin. There's very little plumbing just under the bathroom and kitchen just to foam that area.
Okay, I agree with that totally, Ben. In order to do that, I've already talked about this too, we need to bury, right now there's lines, let's say the garden cabin, you got bathrooms on each side and a kitchen in the middle. Well, they ran the water lines, they didn't even cut it to length, it's just, it's over length, and it's just kind of strung along underneath that cabin. And so I would like to bury those water lines so the only plumbing coming out of the ground would be right under the two bathrooms and right where the kitchen's at. And then, yes, insulate those three areas, just like you said, with that spray foam. More insulation than, say, the skirting. I believe to keep these cabins open year-round, there is going to need to be some kind of insulated skirting, too, because, for instance, that ranch house, I can feel that cold air coming right up through the floor, you know.
Hey, this is Joe. Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Hey, when I worked at the Luxor, we used to use that spray foam. Excellent, excellent product. Be very careful. The fumes, you have to be well ventilated. The fumes are absolutely toxic, and they could knock you down. So you have to have a well ventilated area. If you're crawling under a cabin and it's sealed in and you're spraying it, you better have good oxygen supply or you're in trouble.
I'll have Kelly spray it.
Yeah, actually what it is the propellant for that stuff is butane. So think about it.
Jody's good at that stuff.
Different, but Joe's absolutely right, and you got to watch your ignition sources, too, or we could have a cabin in orbit.
Hey, is there any way we could get one of these cabins sprayed this winter while it's still cold and just test this stuff out? Is there a source where I can go to see about purchasing some of this? Do you have
source? You should be able to get that right up here at the hardware store, shouldn't you? And they have big boxes or 5-gallon buckets, or we can get some ordered in, I'm sure.
Yeah, they have them at the hardware store. I think temperature is critical, though. You'll have to read the instructions on them for the temperature.
But it's also been my experience, though, just like I own that trailer park down there by the Buckskin for a few years, and a trailer with no skirting and no insulation, it just the pipes froze every winter.
Yeah.
One of the things that also is, some of the pipes are not deep enough to so you can't insulate the top of the ground to protect those. So it's got to be a total job.
So some extra fill may need to be thrown in on top of the ground if they're not very deep enough already, plus the spray. So Chris has his work cut out for him on that. He's taking notes on that now.
So anyway, that's what I'll start with the garden cabin. That's when I replace the doors, start insulating it first.
While we're talking about the winter, can we move to item 10C and talk about winter usage of the cabins? Where did I put that? It costs a lot more to have people out there, and I think we should have a winter price for using it. Here it is, 12C. For using the cabins. Can we discuss that a little bit?
I think until we, yes, I'd love to discuss that, but I think until we get these resolved where they can be used, we need to shut it down. It's going to cost us more to fix the broken stuff, and Chris is wasting all day just to try to open one up because of the freeze.
And it does. It costs a lot to use them in the wintertime, and that's why I'm thinking we should have $100 on a usage for a cabin. And, of course, people need to be critical about letting us know when they're coming and going because of the freeze issue. I don't have any rentals from now until spring as far as those cabins go, so basically they are shut down now. But we always get people that want to use them over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Those are the times when we get a lot of usage in them.
I suggest that right now we leave them down until the normal springs fire up.
At least April 1.
Okay.
They'll think April 1 at least for the lower cabins for sure. Does anybody have an objection to that? Do I need to make that as a motion?
I object. If it's an exception, de-winterize, use it for a weekend. I mean, we've got to get back to the principle, I think, of the use of the ranch. Instead of prohibiting it, let's encourage it. And I also oppose the idea of paying more money. I'm already paying more money. Linda would know best if there's, I mean, is it once a year? Is it twice a year that the cabins are scheduled over New Year's or something. I don't think it happens that often. I don't think that we should keep them open continually. But is it open? Is it winterizing and dewinterizing a couple times?
Yes, it's winterizing and dewinterizing. That's the way it needs to be done so that they don't freeze. You have to put RV antifreeze into the pipes and that to keep them from, and then, of course, turn the water off and drain the line and put antifreeze into the drains and that so that we don't have anything freeze up in between. And if somebody comes in late and doesn't let us know that they're coming in late, then the cabin can freeze up just waiting on them, you know, if they come in a day late or something. So it's a problem. Chris can tell you. He's the one that's been doing it so far, so he should discuss that.
He's trying.
Hey. We're not trying to shut these cabins down. I just want next year, this year we don't have any more reservations, so if we don't take any more, and just when we don't take any more, let them know that we are winterizing these cabins so next year they can be open year round. My goal is
okay.
To. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, again, I want to get back to let's encourage the use instead of discourage it, and so
yes.
If it's the turkeys that show up for New Year's, that should be the purpose of what we're doing. And so the question is, do I need to pay more money because the cabins have to, I mean, because Chris is going to spend.
You know what, Dave?
If
I do this right, there won't be any time spent getting these things open. They'll just be.
I agree. And Chris, that's what we talked about as a board last time and a few other times. It's let's experiment with this, figure out, we've already talked about this. Let's get money in the budget so that we can winterize these cabins and even winterize the ones that are already winterized so that they don't freeze even when it gets super cold.
Sure.
And if I'm not mistaken, we already did set a budget for getting a handful of these winterized. But, David, we're not saying shut the winter use off period. We're talking just for the next couple of months, 2-3 months, until we open up. We're only talking just from now until April.
But then Chris just said, let him go ahead and experiment so that we can figure out what works.
We're not with people out there. I'd like to foam, you know, insulate it without foam and, you know, maybe stay in the cabin. But just to see if it truly can hold up to these low temperatures.
And Chris, are we still talking 8 and 7? Are we talking garden cabin?
I would experiment with this stuff with 7 and 8, yes. That's what I would experiment with.
And I vote for that. That's where my vote goes. Let's not go backwards. Let's go forward.
Yes, but what Linda's getting at, too, though, is there is an expense for getting the antifreeze and the extra stuff there. That's where she's saying, do we need to raise a little bit for the winter usage? That's what she is specifying on this. We're cutting more wood. We're spending more of Chris's time cut wood and so forth to keep those things warm, which takes from everything on the budget. I mean, it takes from the fencing time and the mowing time to, you know, I think that's what Linda's trying to get at.
Yeah, I'm not trying to close the cabins down for winter. I love it out there in the wintertime. I think it's beautiful to be out there and have a nice fire going in the wintertime. So, no, I'm not talking about that. It's just that it costs more to run them in the winter, and since we've moved to this pay-for-play program, that's where it needs to, we need a little more income on that, on those cabins.
I agree with that.
I disagree. I think I'm already paying, and I don't want to have to pay more. So my vote goes no for more money, yes for improving so that they are actually winterized, and even with the deep freeze, we're still in good shape.
And let's just hold off on a vote for more money. I'm thinking if I get this thing going, this is going to be what you guys are charging right now. You know, it's going to just
hey, like I like that.
We'll know more as soon as Chris gets one done and can experiment with it during this next little bit.
Okay.
All right. What else you got, Chris?
Oh, I've also cleaned out that basement of the ranch house. I was going to use it as maybe I was going to take that old barn wood and do some stuff down in there, finish the basement, because right now it's not finished. There's a couple open spaces where you can see under the house, but that's what I've started working on at the ranch house during the rainy days, I guess.
Snow days.
Can I suggest something? Not use barn wood down there where it won't be seen, but just use something less exotic and that you could move very quickly through and get that done.
Okay.
Yeah, barn wood's nice.
Okay.
See it.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Okay, he's agreeing with that. Anything else for Chris? Does anybody else have anything to add for Chris?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
You mentioned Rod Johnson. You plowed for Rod Johnson, Lee Beller, the Levitts, and I didn't catch the other name.
Art Arlotti.
Ortolani, okay. And along those lines, did you collect money from them, or do I need to bill them?
No, you need to bill them, and I'll send you the list and the hours for each of them.
I would appreciate that. Thank you, and what you quoted them as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
And can I add here, I think Chris and Kelly are doing a fabulous job. I think they've heard it before, and they need to hear it again, that we're grateful for what they're doing.
I hear he was Superman and got you back up to cabin 3.
Yeah, it's true. All it takes is four-wheel drive. So once he got the truck in four-wheel drive, he showed me how they do it at the ranch. So I was.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm talking about with the grader.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He cleared the road with the grader, but then he drove the truck up there too because us city boys don't know how to drive someone else's truck very well.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Chris.
And also that the day I plowed to 239, I come around the corner and there was Don and Shauna Cox stuck about a mile from their cabin on the BLM road. They're sure glad to see me.
Help save them.
I have one more question. Are we moving ahead and doing meter reading on that one lot? We don't need to designate which one it is, but I'm just wondering, are we doing meter reading on that, and is there a reading that I need to have?
Linda, I went over there one evening. I checked the water all the time over there. It was evening time, but I opened up that door, and that water meter is almost upside down. I had my flashlight.
Okay, so it's not functioning?
It's not readable, he's saying. It's upside down.
It's not readable.
Okay, so then I'm just going to go ahead and send them a bill for monthly usage then.
The only time that we thought we might have an issue is that there was a week there that I went through 40,000 gallons.
Right.
And it was a fluke. I don't know. But
without a reading, I can't really bill for that. So that's why I was wondering if we had gotten that reading. So I'll just bill for the monthly bill and do it at that for this year, and perhaps in the future we can approach that problem.
Thank you. See that.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else for Chris before we move on? All right, moving on then. Water resource management, Dale?
I do not have the bill on it yet, but the Meadow Canyon diversion was rebuilt, and I assume that will be an item on the budget.
Okay, anything else?
No, I don't know of anything else on water and management at this time.
All right, anything else from everybody else on the board? Or any of the members? All right, moving on. Did Shauna ever chime in?
No, Shauna called me last night, said she wasn't going to be able to.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I didn't. Meadow Canyon, what was rebuilt?
The water diversion?
Diversion, thank you.
Did she, when you talked with her, did she have anything to report for you to report for her today?
She didn't, thank you, though.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on. Next item on the agenda, facility maintenance. David?
Sorry, I have to unmute myself. Just to report, not to be redundant, but the cabin winterizing, we have approved it, and so Chris is going forward with that, and we're trying to make progress. Starting with the ranch house itself, and hopefully the garden cabin, is that clear? Are we on the same page as far as that goes? Because it sounds like we're kind of bouncing back and forth.
Yes, I think he needs to do the ranch house first because they're living in it, number one. Number two, he wants to start with the ranch or the garden cabin next.
Okay, excellent. And then the other thing is the roof is on cabin three, the metal roof, and I've got to go back up there and switch a valley panel. But other than that, check your Google map. Eventually you'll see a green roof instead of an old yellow-brown one that has plywood showing through.
Yay!
So we'll make good progress. And then I guess number four will be up for spring sometime, early spring or whenever, because it's in pretty bad shape as well.
You say that's cabin four?
Yeah, cabin four. That's definitely the next candidate. I think that's all
okay.
I have.
Let's keep that in our let's keep that brought to our attention and see what we can do for making some plans on that.
Okay, as far as cabins, and then we'll work on the pavilions also come spring. They're not that expensive. We have almost all the material. It's been donated, both the metal panels and then the post. I think. Are we still on for some more post, Dale?
Going to be
killed by Eddie. I don't know that there are any more posts in your stack that are big enough.
I can cut. I've got a couple around the ranch house, Dave. I've got pine poles, and I've also got a couple cedar posts. And what we don't have, I can go cut.
Okay, good. And then we've got the metal panels, and so we're going to need to sheet those with plywood. If we're going to put metal panels, well, maybe we can figure out something else. But anyway, so we'll work on those. And then the other thing where I did talk to Paul a couple days ago about his vehicle being moved, and he said due to weather, he wasn't able to do anything yet with them.
That was one other thing I forgot to mention. I moved those two vehicles from where they were at down by the generator. I'm just trying to get that stuff out of there. And I also, the blacksmith shop was about to fall down, so I spent the last couple of days putting that thing back together. And I'm going to send pictures out on all this stuff, too.
Okay.
It's over, so I come along and clean the thing back up, put some braces in there, and then I use some...
Chris?
Yes?
This is Ben. Just curious. I was muted there for a while, and I want to reiterate... I think the majority of the board and the members, I'm still getting, great reports on you guys. I did talk to Shauna. I know you saved her life on that rescue and stuff. But what do we need to do to get better on weekly reports and photographs? We did get some since the December meeting, but I think we've got one thing with reporting some photographs instead of four on at least a weekly basis.
It's just me. I just got to get it together.
Okay. Now, let's keep working on that because I know you're working, and I want to be able to update people and we're updated weekly. So keep working and see if we can't do keep it up on a consistent report.
Yes, sir.
And everybody saw that we did get things finished or whatever Chris did on his license. So. That was a big hurdle, and glad we got that finally by the end of the year.
Okay, I'm done. I think that was all I had.
Springs, you have a box springs on here, David?
Oh, yes. The south bedroom in cabin eight, it's just got a ragged box springs. And so my question was, can Chris and Kelly look for those kind of things and either put a fitted sheet on the box springs to cover it up or flip that box springs around so the ugly ragged side isn't the one you see and it could be up against the wall or something. But just kind of be proactive with those kind of things so that it looks as good as possible.
Kelly's making a list right now also. She's going to the cabins and looking for stuff like that and listening.
What's that was box springs in which cabin?
Cabin 8, the south upper, the bedroom upstairs.
South bedroom upstairs. Okay.
So not a big deal, just a suggestion, just so that it looks a little bit nicer.
You guys jump those rock springs so hard, it'd be all right.
Dave, on Cabins and with Chris, I do think that it would be worth the time, whether it's Chris and Kelly or Linda, to try to talk to the manager of the four or five major hotels here in Kanab. One of them, I'm sure, before next summer season, is going to go through an upgrade and sell off their box springs and mattresses for $25 or $50. And if we let them know that, hey, we always need some, and let us know next time so that we can go in and get the top pick. Some of that stuff, if it's ready enough to that point, there's really no reason not to dispose of it and replace it. It's really not a matter of money. It's a matter of coordination and the right time for Chris or somebody to have a box trailer to haul them up there without getting them dirty.
Okay.
But every time I hear about it, it's after everybody in town's already gone through and picked over. So we should call and talk with some of them and just, once a year and let them know if you do any changing out, we're interested in picking up some decent stuff.
You want to make an assignment on that?
Yeah. I don't know. You know some of the people. Can we call and also get an email, so once a year we can just send a reminder email from Deer Springs? Linda?
You want me to do that?
Well, I think some of them, yes.
Just say yes or no. Okay. I will do that.
All right. Anything else in that area, Davey, or from anybody else on the cabin maintenance in that division before we move to the next item?
Yes, one other thing I mentioned to Kelly, and I think Chris also, that really, as we're setting up the cabins again and getting them worked up in the beginning of May, end of April, they should spend the night in those cabins and see how they function, see where their idiosyncrasies are. They would be better educated about how they work then and what needs to be done also. I think Chris alluded to it a few minutes ago. But spend the night over in the garden cabin while you're working on getting it going, just to see what it takes to keep it warm, what it takes to run it, for that matter. So I think that's a really good idea.
I agree. And another suggestion is the mattress in that main bedroom, cabin 8. I mean, this should be coming from people that use it like me. It was awful. There are two mattresses on that bed. And the upper one, it felt like there was a big, huge hole in the middle. So I just tipped it up against the window and slept on the middle mattress, because there's a box spring, there's a mattress, and then there's another mattress on top. But people like me need to report back and say something's got to change, because it was not a happy experience the first night.
It wasn't a Marriott?
It's actually a Luxor. But that's the good one. It's the one that was on top that I felt like I was falling into a hole. So, anyway, moving on.
All right. Anything else then on the cabin facilities and maintenance?
No.
All right, moving on.
Wait a minute. Sometime we've got the priority of painting has got to come up, because some of them are really looking pretty ratty.
I think I've been talking about that for a couple of years.
Is on the agenda this year, Davey, but when we were talking about changing some of these skirtings and these doors, like around the garden cabin, we're going to be doing some major construction or appearance changes around there. No sense of wasting paint on there if we're going to tear the skirting off and replace it and be cutting on it and so forth, but I think that is definitely a high priority this year, definitely.
Well, and I don't know that it has to be a major operation like shut everything else down and now we're going to start painting cabins from top to bottom. If anything, it could be the more visible sides, because people don't get around to the back side. They don't get to the north side, but they see the south side of number 3, for example. Somebody could get up there with the roll of paint, hit that, and it would look very different. So it's just a thought. I don't know that we need to shut everything else down and just concentrate on that if we can multitask and do
However, during the summertime, there are times when those cabins aren't being used. When the calendar is open, it can go up there and be painted. That's what I've been trying to get done for the last 3 years. So number one's desperate. Number three needs a whole lot of work on the outside. Number two had new windows put in it, and it should have been painted that same year, but it didn't get painted and hasn't been painted yet. So Larry put those windows in up there. That's what I've been screaming about, guys.
I think we did have that in our budget this year. That's part of cabin maintenance this year.
Yep.
All right. I estimate it's about 4 days to do a cabin. You got 2 days of prep time, 1 day to mask the windows off, and then a day to paint it. That's what I estimate, and that's with the helper.
Okay, it needs to get done as soon as we can do it.
Yep. All right. Good reminder.
It's also weather.
Yeah, and Chris will be watching for the first time when the weather starts getting on that area where we can actually do that without, you know, when the paint will be cooperative with the weather.
Okay.
Good suggestion. Anything else for the cabin area?
Yes, while we're on that issue, so in order to plan ahead, maybe we should be looking at the calendar with Linda to see whichever cabins need to be painted first. I think you said one, then three. Then there's already openings because they're not booked because, you know, next month they're going to be all booked. Why don't we find weeks that we need to stay right now during this week to shut them down during that 4 day or 5 day period to do that cabin, to paint that cabin? Otherwise, we're going to end up in a situation where they're going to be booked so solid we can't get in there to do it.
There will be weeks when those cabins are open, and we don't need to do that. We don't need to keep from having somebody go in there as long as people will work with me when there is an opening. That's all I ask.
Linda, maybe we can do this.
Planning ahead would be good.
Start getting warm around April 1st.
I'm for
Let's say April 1st, why don't you book me for cabin one. I'll paint cabin one the first week in April. And then we can do it this one or two ways. I could just paint cabins for 6 weeks straight and not do anything else.
That doesn't happen, though. You're going to end up having to multitask, and that's why I'm saying do it when you've got time instead of getting yourself locked in and you've got it scheduled, but it's raining, and you could have been doing things instead of painting.
I just remind him he's going to be opening up all the cabins there, too, so he's going to be busy doing a lot of other things as well. So
we're going to be opening cabins at the middle of May. So that's when people start reserving cabins is for the middle of May. So between the 1st of May and the middle of May would be fine as long as the weather is cooperating. That's another factor you need to figure in. I like Dave's idea. Then you don't have to tell anybody that it's closed unless we know for sure we're going to use this week, and then we can close it down for that week. But generally, there's a week or two open in there that will work if you'll just work with me.
Let's put a target date by the end of October that all 10 cabins are painted.
Yay! That would be wonderful.
Right? Sounds
reasonable. Okay. We have targets in line. Anything else on cabin? Moving on. Legal and public safety finance, Jody.
No, everything I had we discussed this morning.
They have down here change of attorney to represent DSROA on the agenda.
You're right. I'm in the wrong section here. Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we covered most everything else earlier. Yes, I agree.
And I was in the other page there. I think we do need to do this. We need to make a change to a different attorney. Kimball and Clarkson has served us well for all these years, but we've seemed to have too many conflicts coming up, and when the attorney tells us we can't represent you on this one because it's a conflict, well, then we need to have a different attorney. So I was talking with Ben earlier about it, and he's already talked to a local lawyer, and I think that would be a good move. We have a local person we can meet with face-to-face. He's affordable for what we do. I think, Ben, $150 an hour, is that what he charges?
That's what I just asked specifically. I don't know really where he's at. So, that's what he said he would charge.
Yeah, is that a cost savings from Kimball and Clark Clarkson?
Yeah. Linda, what has Kimball Forbes been charging per hour on his time? I think it's been that or more.
Dale thinks it's a little bit of a savings, yes.
I think it was $225 an hour, if I remember that rightly.
Hold me to it. $175. I'm sorry. I had to unmute my phone. It was $175 an hour.
Okay. So, yeah, that would save us some money, and we'd be local, someone we could talk to and, you know, stop at the office, chat with, or whatever.
Which attorney are you thinking of?
Pardon me?
Which attorney are you thinking of?
Oh, we are talking about Ed Walensky. I'm sorry, Ed Robbins.
Terrible choice.
I disagree. He knows the ranch. He's been around the ranch. He used to own property at the ranch. He knows our structure at the ranch. He knows HOAs. I think it's a good choice.
Dale, who do you suggest?
I didn't know. I haven't met with Bonham or the attorneys that rent your upstairs there, Snow.
Well, they've really moved out and do not have an office here in Kanab anymore.
Okay, well, I'm just considering the different things. Does the attorney that works with the mortgage company, does he do any attorney work?
No, he moved out. He moved to Salt Lake a year ago. Eric Lind.
Yeah, Eric?
Yeah, he lives in Salt Lake now.
They're all leaving Kanab.
Not enough business there to keep them going, I guess.
Well,
I'm
hearing that he used to be an attorney for the ranch at one time, long time ago. He's going to have to make some changes, possibly, because there must have been a reason why he's not an attorney for the ranch anymore.
Who used to be an attorney for the ranch?
Who you're thinking?
Well, I don't know that. Again, Dale's voiced some concern or whatever. Him not being the attorney for the ranch had nothing to do with his performance over, getting back to using Clarkson. And Barry has had an interest in having one of his junior attorneys do some of this collection and stuff, mainly because at the time we went back and engaged him, some of us on the board and when we really worked through things with Dirk as the president, we were doing a lot of other things. So I think that he's been very good and fair on his pricing and things that way. Are there specific things, Dale, that you would resist Ed Robbins other than you don't like him?
I won't make any comments. I agree. Barry was happy not to continue, and I don't think,
Well, let me clarify one. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead and finish.
I just think that it's appropriate that we consider a change.
Okay. Well, I just wanted, there's been some, the emails and some discussion. I wanted to make sure that everybody understands that in this current situation that Kimball Forbes wrote the letter, went to everybody declining and saying he could not represent DSROA on this issue because there is a conflict in their relationship. Some have felt that he's dropped DSROA in order to represent the other party, and that's not the case. He is not and cannot represent either party in this case. So by law, they have said, hey, we just can't do that. That has been a concern or an issue in the past, and I think it will be in the future. And so for everyone, we talked in December of the ranch keeping them and that, Dale and Clarkson Investments may find a different attorney, I think was the discussion, but I don't think that will work. I'm happy to meet with Nicole Bonham, is a local girl that is Barry's same age, was in Barry's class that I went through high school. She has recently moved back to Kanab about a year ago and has an office to see. Really, I've not worked with her and her capability. But outside of that, I would make a motion even to, explore and work with Ed. There's been some areas that he may not be the best choice, but when it comes to a reasonable priced, limited attorney, we don't have the budget or time. We don't want anybody that's going to send extensive stuff. We need somebody who legally can write a threat letter here and there on these collections. I think that Linda is very capable and has things down as far as even updating and filing the liens that we need against the lots. There's times we've had the attorney do that. These last round, Linda is preparing those and doing those herself. It's very simple once you know the process. And so, for Ed's opinion as far as, telling us what Utah state law is and county issues, where he represents, Kane County and the Water Conservancy District in several things that they're doing that we've worked on here lately, you know, that's where I asked around on, you know, local people using things, and even, you know, I talked with Dirk quite a bit. He understands and was the last president of DSROA, and he highly recommended Ed is doing a good job. So unless there's an alternative, I would much rather go that direction than another attorney from St. George or Cedar that, again, are going to be a higher rate, and we're going to spend a lot of, if we ever do need them to come to a meeting or something, we're talking hours of travel cost and stuff, where I think that we can keep our legal fees where they've been or even less, using Ed on you know, collecting, and that's the our biggest function on those things.
Is there a second?
I second.
So that was a motion?
Yep.
Okay. And who seconded?
Jody.
Okay. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? No other opposed. I don't know any of those attorneys. I don't even know the Jacksons and the Kimballs and so forth, so I'm just going to abstain on that one. So,
okay, so clarify what the vote was.
One of the clarifications is that Barry is a part of Clarkson Investments, and that is a conflict of interest, and that was one of the reasons why, because of not for everything that's happening, but for some things, that's a problem.
This is Dale, and I certainly agree that a change is appropriate to be made.
Okay. And the vote was to explore and work with Ed Robbins?
I think the way I understand it, Ben was going to check around also with some.
Well, okay, let's back up and understand. We need an attorney.
Yes.
To represent DSROA, or one of us has got to go through it, and I, you know, again, I think that we can, but right now, I think, Linda, didn't you say, whatever, we have a hearing on February 6th?
Yes.
In St. George? We need somebody to at least, I think that we can represent ourselves, whether Linda goes down or I have to go down or something, but I would at least like to discuss that with an attorney between now and the next meeting. And so I would like to make a motion to at least engage Ed, at least does understand some of the background and things on Deer Springs enough to help us, you know, again, I'm talking, you know, maybe an hour of his time, and in that get an idea of, you know, his capability. If he says that he doesn't have time or won't take us as a client long term, we'll go looking for things, and I will explore things. Again, attorneys are something that, you know, until we get a deep relationship, we may switch here in 3 months. If Nicole Bonham, you know, is a lower rate or is more aggressive, I'm not sure that her background is in as much, you know, real estate and things as some big corporate type issues as where her career has been the last 30 years. And environmental issues, and so I'm making a motion to at least be able to engage and spend some money with Ed in the next 30 days in solving our near-term issue needs, And then, you know, we can, if that works out, we'll, you know, report and address it next month in maybe a long-term arrangement.
Yeah, but Clarkson Draper can't help us in February at all.
Right.
What are we doing?
So can we re-vote on that?
What are we doing in February?
There's a hearing on the bankruptcy in February in St. George.
That's the part of the executive session, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll second that motion then. I'll go along with that. We do need an attorney to represent us and help us on this. Let's try them out.
Okay, so we have a motion and Jody second it. We just need to know who or how many vote yes, no, and abstain.
All right, I'll go for this for right now. I'll vote yes for now.
Dave?
I'll vote for yes.
Dave is a yes.
Okay, so that's five?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, and I guess, okay, I'm off of mute. I guess there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. I didn't know if it was during this section of legal and public safety or if it was under the water, so I'll bring it up now. Dale, we all got your letter right before the board meeting, and in the letter you wanted to reconfirm a couple of items about the board giving you permission to proceed in the water development of Manitou Canyon Springs and construct the pipeline down the fish pond area. That was, we gave you permission to get the study done on the spring, and then we would pay for half of it, and to do some collection pipes for testing purposes. That was over a year and a half ago, and I think we need to be constant in what we're doing, and same as what any other project would do. If it hasn't been done within a certain amount of time, we need to cancel what permission we gave to do proceed on that. So I'm making the motion that we do that now. And when it comes up to play later, you can resubmit and we can go on from there. But right now, it's nothing's being done. We just can't leave it on the books for or the agenda for another year, not knowing what's going on with that.
I oppose.
We were given permission. There's been some other research and things. These things, some feel that because a motion is made, that something happens within 30 days. The board has not responded on some of the things that needs to be done. And, yes, I would strongly object to the motion. It was passed. For the board to pay half or somebody else to pay half. There's a resolution that is worded a much more complete overview, and it may be 2 or 3 years in the making. Some were concerned that we were going to drink all the water within the next 60 days. The time this is run by the different state agencies and stuff, it's months in doing. So I personally would object to her indication of withdrawing anything.
Well, and to reiterate what was written, we did not give you permission to proceed with the development of Meadow Canyon Springs. You were given permission to do the study on the spring, and it was agreed upon that we would pay for half of that. We went into quite lengthy discussions about how that was to be worked out and, of course, to state regulations and Utah Division of Water regulations and to also, do the few collection pipes. But that was all that was given permission for, Dale. And if we don't have anything working on that, we don't need to leave it keeping it open here until 2 or 3 years from now. We haven't got any reports back from you on it.
You reported last time, Jody.
It's like a scale issue.
Hey, Jody. Jody, let me throw something in here real quick. I was just told there you should probably do some research on your minutes on that. There was nothing in there about Deer Springs paying half.
Yes, there was.
That's through there, and I just got straight from Patsy.
No, I was a part of the meetings where that happened, and I was part of the decisions where that happened.
We went through multiple things where it was a cost share, it was reimbursement. I mean, I'm not sure that the split of expenses is the main issue, because there was, I don't know the exact wording of the final resolution, but we voted multiple times exactly how to handle that, and on the money issue, how that was being handled. A question that I have, or a concern that I have, regarding that, and having, I don't know, Dale, what are your intentions? What I read in the letter is that you said you had not done anything in the last year, but furthermore did not intend on doing anything in the next year. And so if it's a matter of, you're working on it and doing something, but that isn't at all what was written in the letter, and so I don't think that it's appropriate to have, standing approvals and nothing, being done on it. Your letter was clear that you had no intentions of doing anything because of board resistance or family resistance. And so I think that whether that's a motion to change that or it automatically cancels, for lack of forward momentum, I think it is appropriate to address it.
I think just the opposite is true, Ben. I think the letter did not say anything about we hadn't or we weren't. My plea in that letter is for the board to get off this contention, hatefulness, and then things can happen. So I'm pushing still, and going to demand that the contentious aggravation that is destroying the effectiveness of every person on the board and our staff be laid on the table, clarified. Different people have agreed that they would identify what the problems are and overcome the thing that is destroying or keeping the things from happening. And that was the message that I tried to put in my letter, is that there are certain reasons that need to be addressed and cured so that good things can happen at Deer Springs Ranch.
Okay, well, let's find a professional business way then to address this, because that's not... I don't think it's a reasonable request or anything that's measurable. There's no way I can go to school.
Ben, is that same thing you and I said in that one meeting after everybody left? Dale just simply asked her, and she said she would write up something, and it's been a couple of months.
Well, but that does not – what Dale's personal opinion or Jody's personal opinion or whatever, there's whether Jody – if that's what you're referring to, writes up her grievances, it does not at all influence the board's approval of actual business and work projects. And so it's totally ridiculous for me to say I'm not going to do my homework at school until I'm popular and the other kids in my class like me. And so this is what the letter said. It says, may I report that with the resistance from my family members and is the reason that I have not moved forward on either project during this last year. The atmosphere of doing things at the ranch has been uncomfortable, and I felt that several hundred thousand dollars was invested to accomplish something nice, only to find the SRO leadership changed the following year. Would determine both the effectiveness. Until the attitude changes, I feel better and will continue to work on other areas of the ranch. And so am I wrong in understanding that until you feel attitudes have changed, you're not working on those two projects?
No.
Because I don't know how to gauge or measure what attitudes, whose attitudes, is it a little change or a big change? And I think that it's fair to say there's some of those attitudes that will never change. And so this isn't a business decision based on touchy-feely. Either we have a,
a building permit and we're building a house, or we don't make progress in 6 months and the building permit expires and lapses. Now, if there's delay and there's been some progress, and for that to continue to be renewed for another 6 months is how things usually work. I just understood from this that, you know, you did not intend on doing anything in the next future. So I think it's appropriate now, you know, Jody's brought this up, to decide, are we moving forward and that, those approvals stand, and what the board and the membership should expect with the monthly reports that was part of the approval and what was, outlined and promised, or, we haven't had monthly reports or any updates other than nothing to report, and if that's the next 12 months like the last 12 months, then this is not not going anywhere.
Is somebody else ready to move in and do the job, Ben?
I don't know that that's the case.
And the same thing. To spend $200,000 or $300,000 and find that, and in fact, I would like to talk about voting and the board and find out if, let's say, this was in fact done and there has been work done on it and money spent on it. And next week.
Is that work done or and money spent that's happened earlier than the last 30 days?
Oh, yes.
And has that been reported to the board?
Yes, yeah. I've had in several letters and in the board, which kind of has been ignored. But let me just move into one little area. Let's say that through resignations or whatever, the board consists of Robert Allen, Ken Lent, and Robert Musco, and Jody is the president. What happens to the several hundred thousand dollars worth of investment that would be very fragile at that point? I would like this aggravation. And
well, but let me answer that question. If that's the case, then those are the governing bodies that have the legal authority to manage those assets the best they know how for the betterment of the members. And so I hope that they do the best that they can, just like every board in the past. They're going to not be perfect. They're going to fall short. They're going to do things that some of us all disagree with at times. But that's where that's the answer to the question.
Sounds like to me that your dad's covered a lot of it from point A to point B. So cover from point A from here forward.
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds like Jody's going to persist. It sounds like Dale's going to stop doing anything for the ranch. So it sounds like where are we going to come up with that extra $100,000 or $200,000 that he invests here and there and does work projects around the thing? Where are we going to come up with that money now? Now we got to talk about where we're going to do some income-producing activity around the ranch.
Well, as always, Mark, we work within our budget to do what we can for the ranch to improve it.
It has to happen outside the budget, and it does happen, and he does it.
On those two projects?
On how many projects, Ben, from the last year since he started this thing, has been outside of the budget?
A lot. And like I said, I'm not. I think that that's been
right
to a great benefit of the ranch.
So great benefit to the ranch. Why are we going to have a thorn that's going to stick right in there in the tire and make it go flat? Because you just flattened the tire.
I did?
Oh, no, not you.
Well, I'm asking for clarification now that this came up on the letter. And like I said earlier, that's another thing to discuss. I think that when we have a written letter that we, as a board, need to discuss it and have a written response. And on this one, I was, a little confused as to what are the... What is the direction? I understood this I thought it was Dale's resigning or canceling, the commitment of moving forward on this. You know, if he wants to and is tending to still build a pavilion, I'd love to see a pavilion built. But but I do agree that when we met a year ago, I'm the one that I spent, you know, a lot of extra time and a lot of extra money and hosted a conference call. I'm the one that spent 4 hours screaming with Dan Wirt over this specific water right and this specific pavilion, which, you know, it was committed to stake the corners so that members could see it through this last year and send out photographs in a newsletter of where it was proposed to go and those things. I'm just asking, is that still the plan or is it not?
My last recollection on that is when the weather prohibits, we're going to get back up there and stake that out.
Right, and that we had all.
When I read that letter, that was to me, and that was my understanding. It was his plea to say, Jody, where's my list of stuff we talked about? You agreed to give me a while ago, a couple months ago.
Okay, let's address that then first, if that's the hot topic. Jody, you had to express grievances and stuff, and clarify because did you commit to put your grievances in writing to have a bullet point of these are the things that I think were inappropriate or a violation of trust?
Yes, I did.
And can you still or will you still, are you still willing to do that?
I already have that document ready. It was ready to go for the last meeting. However, you know what happened at the last meeting.
Right.
And I really wanted to address with Dale on that. I wanted to have a private conversation with Dale on that. I think what he's asking for me from that is information that I'm not going to provide to him. I am going to give him the same information I have given him before. I did his 10, list of 10 like he asked for, but I don't think he's going to be satisfied with that because that is my list of 10. It involves no outside people, and that was going to be my private conversation with him that, okay, it is if you really want it again because we've been over it a couple more.
Well, and again, this is a personal issue with you and Dale. So you know, some of it affects the whole board. And so, but again, if it holds up the progress of the ranch, it needs to be addressed. So, are you willing to write that and print it and email it to Dale if it is a private thing? You know, maybe it's not appropriate or shouldn't go to the entire board, but at least get that to Dale so that we encourage moving forward to see if we can resolve or fix something so that if that's the holdup or the issue, that is not holding up ranch productivity.
Yeah, yes, I can do that. And I don't think it has anything to do with holding up the ranch productivity. I think he's really far, Dale, you're really far reaching on that. This is a matter of what you and I think is ethical and moral versus moving ahead on a project because either we don't have the funds, we don't have the time, or whatever. It really has nothing to do with that. And you know clearly how I feel about the situation and what I've asked you over the last 2 years. None of that has changed on my part. But I will send you that list again so you can reread it, and maybe with some hope you might have some insight to it. Maybe Patsy can help with that.
No, let me to those of you, Ben, I sent a letter and indicated clearly three or four ways that professionally disagreements can be agreed upon, and I still put that out as a it is serious enough that in the future of Deer Springs that these things either go to arbitration because there is a conflict. And let me address that a little bit more. There was tremendous frustration, and all of you know, in emails with Paul Brayton. There's tremendous frustration with Linda Alderman and her effectiveness because of the contention. Mark has been overly frustrated. I'm frustrated. Our energy and effectiveness is totally crippled by the frustration. Now, can we get to the bottom of it and find out what the frustration is? The letters have gone back and forth. I have letters from Shauna and Ryan and Mark and Linda and Dale and Ben and Davey and Jody all expressing frustration. Now,
right.
aren't we adults enough that we can say, item number one, let's agree upon.
Well, Dad, let me say this. in the real world, we can go through those, and like I said, there is a legal way of overcoming disagreements or making decisions as a board. That doesn't mean we overcome the disagreement. We just, the majority of the vote rules, and we move forward. I can legally and factually document and prove to my wife that I'm right and she's wrong in a lot of areas. However, I dare say that my marital counselor would still say, okay, did you improve or further damage your marriage? So that's where we've got to separate. There's a lot of these things that if it's a decision that needs to be made, we need to do our research, study it, use our best judgment, and vote on it and move forward. I'm not sure that we'll ever overcome some of the personality conflicts or disagreements in a lot of these things. And so that's where...
Or there's not fraud. Either you prove that the bookkeeping is right or the bookkeeping is wrong.
Okay, those are accusations. How does that affect any ranch business or board decisions that need to be made?
I think it's 100%. If my only reason for doing the Meadow Canyon Spring is to steal the water from Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, that could be very clearly clarified and put to rest.
Right, and but there is nobody on the board that believes that.
Well, it was written in letters.
By board members, you're saying that Jody has, or Jody, are you remembering that you've said or thought that Dale was just trying to steal the water?
Can somebody clarify where we are on this whole thing?
Ben, some of these things are true or false.
I agree, and I'm happy to you know work through those. They're not easy, and so we all get our patience pushed, and I'm happy to try to work through those. We did a lot of that with you and Jody and Vance Green personally in Water Committee over a year ago in going through some of those things to rehash some of the past, and I think some of it has to be done. And is healthy, and there's a lot of it that doesn't have to be done. And I know that I'm not the most popular guy, and there's some people that don't like me, and that doesn't mean that I don't have to still move forward and do some things. So I think that we've reiterated here, everybody, we can put in the minutes, Linda, if you will, a commitment from Jody as a task item to put her grievances in writing and get them to Dale, and hopefully that at least resolves them or clarifies them. And so, like I said, we're wasting more time than I want to in what I determine to be a personal issue between two individuals. That's not our place to try to fix that. This letter, I think, was a written letter of a legal nature to the board of directors, and that's, I'm still asking the same thing, are you intending to exercise and move forward with the approvals that you have or not? And you're saying one thing now that was totally different than what you wrote in the letter a week ago.
Not true. I said the same thing in the letter.
Well, Mark, You jumped in on. Let me read this part and tell me where I'm missing. It says, "May I report that I have hesitated for I have some resistance from my family members, and that is the reason why I have hesitated in moving forward on either of these projects during this last year."
Let's clarify the resistance.
Was these projects delayed because of your family members or because of Jody and the board? Or I'm the only family member who is also on the board. Maybe that is an accusation at me or something. I don't know, but that's what I read when this came, and so you know, I think we need to just know what the plan is. And if there is a way that is a way to be productive, you know that I 100% support both those projects and have, you know, to some that are very mad at me that I did support and encourage them. And I'm big enough to say, you can be mad at me or not. It doesn't change one bit of my feeling. My shoulder's broad enough to handle it, and I'm going to still support it and move forward. But I do think that we need to have, you know, follow the process the way we lined it out and either be making progress or decide that we're going to give up and not move forward.
Well, I think the progress would move forward if the way I know I've been on the board only for a year, that what I've seen in this year is if we had some participation and all good feelings, like, hey, you know, let's get it going, Dale, get it going, instead of having a thorn out there, that I think that this would all we wouldn't be wasting another time discussing this, and I think that things would have happened by now. But the way I understand it is with having some resistance still, they don't feel like they want to put on any kind of their money. They just want to go do something else with it. If they're going to know that it wasn't 100% appreciated and approved of by the board. And
okay.
Not only
well, and I think that the board has. I do know that there's been some previous friction and rubbed feelings, and I think that you know, Jody has raised issues. Some of the, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, some of her opinions. Opinions are not proven correct or incorrect. I mean, there's fact and there's non-fact, and then there's opinion, and nobody can argue with how Jody's opinion or her feeling. But I do hate to see that be a repetitive thing. So I'm happy that, you know, we move forward and revisit this and see what can be done with Jody's, you know, written response to this, if that's the thing, or if there's others that need to, and see if, you know, we can make some progress. I'd like to see the progress. But that idea that, you know, if everybody was just nice and there was no conflict, that, you know, the world would be a better place. We all agree with that.
Ben?
Yep.
There was a resolution written and properly worded and approved by the board. Then it was unapproved, and then it was reapproved. I'm still interested in planning to move forward according to the way that resolution was written. I'm irritated by every time some get a chance, they want to requalify it. They want to tame it down. They want to slow it up. They want to demand details that are not there. So there's an undertone and a resistance, and I would like to see that in writing and as to why, so that we can move forward.
Well, and I totally understand and acknowledge and agree with that. I do think that the history, though, and I'm happy to get out the documents and review them with you. 2 years ago in January, I was on the board when Dirk Clayson was the president. We voted to approve some of the Meadow Canyon water issues. The next month in February, the board voted to rescind that and go the other way. We worked on it and had some of those live meetings, and then I think it was January 1 year ago, not 2 years ago, that I had the conference call when Dan Wirt called in on the board meeting, and I had worded an agreement that, you know, again, I had labeled as a draft. It was a start. I got highly criticized for even putting it in writing, but I said there, this is a starting place. It is not a final thing. And I think that then as a board, we did vote to approve the concept of my draft and move forward in getting it clarified and fleshed out. But that did give you the approval and the green light to start looking at the working on the Meadow Canyon spring development and getting the answers that some are asking. And I totally understand that you don't have the answers, and we never will if we can't get started. And so that's where we were a year ago. I'm not sure that I know of or remember unless it was in the two board meetings I missed the last year, as far as reports at board meetings or written letters that has reported on very much of that. I personally witnessed it. Jody is on the board and has raised questions and voted, maybe even, I think, voted against that proposal. If Jody was not on the board or if Jody was not even a member at the ranch, I don't think that's going to cancel this undertow. I mean, I was, you know, very repetitively threatened by Dan Ward a year ago that if the board did this, that he was getting an attorney and was suing us. And so if it's a matter of saying, well, what's everybody's complaints, let's have them put it in writing, get it out on the table. You know, if we call Dan and say, hey, can you put in all your complaints, I don't know that that's helping anything. We're just inviting to bring up more contention and more disagreements instead of building on the common ground and the things we can agree upon and trying to build trust and consensus and move forward in a positive direction. If we keep asking for why we shouldn't do it or why somebody thinks it was out of line, if we focus on that, we will not be productive.
You're absolutely correct.
We want to be productive. Therefore, in two items, I have failed to report to the board, mainly because if I did, there would be a negative regurgitation of why and when and how, and you haven't done it the way I told you to do it. So I haven't brought up some of these things just because I don't want to fight. The other thing is, I think different ones of you have said, Dale, whatever you bring up, Jody is going to violently oppose it. I don't like that attitude. And I'm not.
And that's not a correct statement.
That, in that arena of knowing that whatever I say, right or left, is under some kind of a mandatory resistance from Jody Akers, and therefore I keep my mouth shut.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say this is my last opinion, and then we need to move on. But I don't think that, like Jody said, I don't think that that's true, that she is diabolically hates Dale to the point she will fight everything. But I will say, my opinion is there is people that are members up there that do feel that way. I think Jody has been more objective and has apologized for some times where I think that she realized that she maybe was misunderstanding or out of line, but she's also stood firm on things where she feels strongly. I do think, though, it is still a good approach for you to, assuming that Jody, and I'm not accusing her, but I don't care if it's Jody or whoever, assuming that there is at least one board member and 10 members who are going to be absolutely diabolically opposed to every idea, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail. These are projects that you have thought of or think that the ranch should have or have wanted to do, and you need to make the decision. If one board member is going to fight me, then I'm not willing to do it, or even if a board member fights me the whole way, I still think it's worth it, and I have the fortitude and the stomach lining to go through that fight, and that's only a decision that you can make. If you can't do that, then we're wasting our time because there will always be some opposition and criticism. If you're willing to, then I think that we have talked through several things, and as a board, as a whole, be able to say, yes, this is logical and it's beneficial or not. And I think that it's important for you to make the reports that were part of the conditions of the approval. Whether you think that somebody's going to pick it apart or not, you didn't say I'll report if everybody is happy and cheers when I'm done. You said I will report all progress on a monthly basis. And so we've got to overcome that. And I think, you know, maybe if this helps talking through it, and maybe Jody, can we get a commitment that if Dale makes a report that if you don't like it, that, you know, you'll at least hear it out. And because I agree very firmly with Dale that, you know, the first report, we can't jump on and criticize it. It's going to take months and months and months of report to see the trend. Are we going in the right direction or not? But it's a zig and a zag process. You can't draw a straight line. And so, even if, you know, it's an exploratory, and Dale will self-correct in a lot of areas to say, okay, that was too much or enough. And we've already done that a little bit in spending, you know, a significant chunk of money with one water engineer to find out, you know, he really was ineffective and maybe changed to a different water engineer and things. And so to work on that, and move forward. But, you know, this has still been a thing that's been discussed or at least talked about every month for 24 months, and we're still not making much progress. So if there's a different way to do it to bridge that gap between being positive and supportive and still covering people's concerns that do have a right and a vote, you know, there's a lot of things the last 24 months that the board's voted and Jody has voted against and I've voted for and it passed, you know, 6-1 and I sleep well at night and I have no heartburn whatsoever and I don't believe that Jody holds hard feelings that she was outvoted on it.
Well, I think there is a solution, Ben. I think that with this discussion and the other things, I think we've made some headway during the last 2 years and I think that a decision can be made and voted upon by the board that would overcome the negative resistance of a small group of members. And everybody would feel good about it, except the half a dozen that got outvoted. So I think that I'd be happy to work on another resolution or whatever you think is necessary so that the outcome could be what we want and the investment could be protected for the benefit of the ranch and its members over a period of many, many years.
Okay. Well, Linda, if you'll add to the minutes, you know, Jody's commitment of emailing Dale in the next 30 days, And I'm asking for and put on there, and Dale, you correct me if you're not willing to, that you will make a report of some substance at the next month meeting or by March at least on anything on the water and what is happening. And as soon as weather permits and by the April meeting at the latest, that we stake the four corners of the pavilion. So that members, I mean, several have still asked me or said, hey, I went up there, did the stakes fall over or whatever, at least kind of stake, and that's, I think, the only appropriate way and where we will get some momentum. If you don't have the finances or the support from family or whatever to actually build it, I understand that. Nobody's going to be critical, but at least to say, okay, yeah, we've all kind of now, you know, bought into and approve the location. There may be one or two that still say, hey, I don't care, I don't want a building. Well, you had your chance to talk, and that's, you know, everybody deserves to be heard, but everybody does not deserve to be agreed with. We're going to move forward anyway.
Okay, let me back up and say on that, the funds are available, the technology available, all the different things are available. It's the family members have got to a point where they cannot stomach the badgering or the if it's good for the ranch, that's my question, is it good for the ranch? Now, if we can decide it's good for the ranch and can move forward, then let's get rid of the whining that continues to badger the program. And cause people, so everything's ready to move forward on these things, and will, if it's good for the ranch, and if the people are ready to go,
you can give them a report.
And I remember, And I can get a report by the 1st of April.
Okay, great.
Okay, I just got a text from Ryan. He said a vote would be required on that to cancel the water in the pavilion, like Jody just mentioned. And he says my vote is that we keep this thing on track and it stays on the book. That's Ryan's vote, just via text to me. I just had a proof that I did just receive that. So just for what it's worth, for the record.
Okay, Mark, one thing that we've got to clarify this year, you know, we're on the legal thing or whatever, but I am going to mention, you know, we've got to understand, this has been brought up and referred to, and I really haven't said anything, but Ryan Dedinsky has no vote in this meeting if he does not show up or participate by phone. And so there's been several times that people, and you have several times said, well, I talked to Ryan yesterday, and he said his vote's this. That is not at all legally binding whatsoever. And so I don't want to encourage that mentality or idea,
here right now, there's some issues going on in his life right now I'm not going to bring up on the public.
Right. I understand that, and I'm not being critical whatsoever. I totally understand that. I'm just saying, legally, there's 7 board members, and they're either to the meetings in person or they're online. They cannot get information first or second hand or before, and so I'm just saying, I mean, I understand for information you're sharing that, and that, you know, we're not now voting on this, sounds like, anyway. It definitely would take a vote to actually undo something the board voted, but some of these things may come down to a critical vote that one vote one way or another will go. People need to be in the discussion to be able to vote on it. You know, unless we're gonna, you know, have more of a straw vote. I mean, I think that our bylaws and Utah state law will clarify
vote.
That.
I was asking for the vote count from him because he wasn't here. So,
okay.
A point well taken. Got it.
Okay.
Since there was a motion made by Jody about a vote, I was just throwing you out what the feelings from the other members that I asked. And so it's there.
Okay, so Linda, based on the, you know, this minutes and stuff, and this is one thing that we had before that we didn't get, we should have a, you know, the minutes show, you know, Jody's motion made by motion, and then noted, you know, die for lack of second if nobody, you know, seconds it or whatever, so that it's clear and people don't say, well, I thought we talked about it, and so it must have passed.
I have already written that down.
Okay.
I am very concerned, however, I need to say this. I am very concerned about the erroneous use of my name in situations such as this, and I do not appreciate it. I've actually written that in a letter, and yet it still continues to happen. I have done nothing. I have not a part of any of this except to take notes and be the secretary, and yet my name is used poorly, and I do not appreciate it. I'm done.
So noted. So noted. It was, like I said, it was things that were just discussed because they keep getting dragged out.
I don't understand why. There is no basis for any of the allegations or things that you're saying. I do not understand why, and I wish you would stop, both of you.
Linda, I agree the same thing.
I'm not doing anything. That's the thing. You think I am. I don't know why. And we need to talk about this at another time, I realize. But I want it to be on the recording that I don't appreciate it.
The same thing. I just assume some of you not using my name as Delphine Clarkson or whatever it was in the newsletter to all the members throughout the entire organization. I just assume people
and
leave me alone, like you.
Okay, but
hey,
yes.
We're moving on.
Okay, no, I want to say one thing because we got to get to the bottom of this. Linda, I'm not remembering who even said your name or whatever in this phone call, but I was well aware of what happened last board meeting. Let's all understand, Dale, you are in a different position than Linda. Linda is an employee of hire of our organization and deserves, and the law requires us to protect her and deal with her fairly and work through problems or issues in an executive session with some confidence. You are an elected official. It's the same thing that I cannot slander my neighboring business and say that they're a horrible businessman. I can also, but I can slander Dirk Clayson as Kane County Commissioner all I want. He's an elected official. He chose to put himself in at a higher pedestal and in the public view, and I can be as vocal as I want that he is doing a crappy job and making bad decisions. If he does not like to have that spotlight on him, he can resign that position. But we as board members, being on the board, are much more open to criticism, and people's opinions being voiced for or against us is completely different than an employee.
Well said.
Thank you.
Moving right along.
On the... Any other items, Jody, on your decision or your thing before we move on to Ryan's area? All right. For those of you who have radios, I talked with Ryan because he was questioning whether or not he was going to be able to be here. And just in case, we were talking about usage of the radios. There is a current problem. We've got these radios up there, and there is a lack of training, so we're going to work on getting something put together so all of the members that have them will have a little bit more training or at least know the frequencies of which to address. I mean, I was up there with Tammy Levis. She had her radio. Had my dad in the vehicle with his radio. I had my radio, and Chris and Kelly had their radio, and we couldn't communicate to anybody.
Mark, was that the new radios that just came for Chris and Kelly?
Tammy had one, the older or, style. Tammy had the older.
Is Bob Becker still on the line? Let me just say, because I, handed out the new radios we talked about last meeting. I've collected all the money. I've got those delivered to who, got them. And each one came with an instruction sheet. And I don't know if that has the information. I really haven't read it. Let me look because I've got mine sitting here on the floor. I'm happy to scan that and email it out or post it on the website if that helps. It does have, DSR access repeater channels 1 through 9 and what they are meant for. And it says, if you have any other in things, it has Bob Becker's, name and phone number to clarify. And I do know that from the first ones he sent to the second ones, he did do some upgraded, programming and software that was needed and made these last round of, 6 or 7, more usable, and so I wondered if that was, if the one that Chris and Kelly, I knew they had an old one, and then they got the two new ones that Bob Becker graciously donated at no cost to the ranch. But I'm happy to, this is just instructions, I'm happy to scan this and email it to everybody if that's the issue. I have not used mine yet even once, so I don't know what it is.
Was mine came with the thing is it's I programmed it pretty much, that was that. Okay.
Well, that's what the first ones that he handed out did not have this instruction sheet.
How do you find those channels and so forth? Then Ryan sat down and showed me. We actually got Bob on the phone because Bob was actually in Vegas during the recent convention down there, and we actually talked through it on the thing, but. Just a concern that everybody's getting these radios and they're not going to have it. And I like to think I might be a little bit radio savvy. I'm not saying I don't, I have problems turning on the computer sometimes, but I'm just saying I could not communicate and I couldn't get it figured up there. So I was just trying to say we need to get something out there that is a little bit more informative so everybody can utilize these things. If we all buy them for safety and we don't know how to use them, well then,
right. Mark, since you have current knowledge, let me scan this to you, and you read it and say, yep, that would have answered a lot of the questions and problems I had, and if it is, we'll send it out. If it's not, then we can get back with Bob for some further clarification and maybe have him write something up. He did mention that of the big shipment that he bought, he still does have several radios available for that $50 fee if anybody wants them.
I'll bet.
And for record, for people to know that I might be listening in on this, the radios have been known to work coming up Johnson Canyon as long as you can see the pink cliffs, and they will work on the Deer Springs channel from the Scootumpah turnoff at the top of Johnson Canyon can connect to the ranch house for a case of emergency. I want that, that's what I was told, and I want to make sure I put that back out to them because we talked about that during our meeting. All right, that's all Ryan had to say right now.
Again?
Yeah.
Would you scan that? Would you send it to me? I need to post it, you know, to the member matters, you know, so people can get at it online.
Yeah, well, and I will, and that's why I wanted to clarify with Mark. If it's more confusing, we may want to get better instructions from Bob Becker
first.
Once
you guys iron out what's right and what's wrong, send me the right stuff.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
Thank you.
And thank
you. Can I hop right in?
Put those two on there.
Can I hop in? Bab, this may be a question for you, but I bow to back up to item 12A, internet use. Why was the time limit set? Does it really complicate Christian's use or Kelly's or whatever, or official ranch use versus people and my trust? And just so you know, it's available, correct me if I'm wrong, 6 to 8, both morning and evening. Why isn't it available during the rest of the day, and does that really complicate things for ranch use? I had to, and my problem is I have to schedule my day around ranch use, like it or not. If the internet's available, I'm going to use it. Although I appreciate Vance's suggestion that we enjoy the ranch instead of being attached at the hip to the internet. So my question is, can those hours be flexible? Can it be monitored? And if there's an abuse, problems, and it changed.
All right, this is Dave, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Number one, Chris and Kelly have a dedicated connection via a completely separate system. This fall, I don't know if you know, this summer was really, it was a bad thing for all of us, and a lot of stuff happened, and maybe you didn't get, it wasn't clear to you that we fixed that issue by segregating the ranch manager to his very own huge satellite system. So
if the guest system is separate, what's the problem of, and explain this to me in two sentences or my eyes will go cross-eyed, but why can't guests use the system as much as it's available instead of it being limited, especially if I'm the only one at the ranch and there are no other guests there?
Because it's a giant pain in the ass for me to do it that way. And if you want me to get more technical, I can. But we either have a set of rules we all live by or we don't. Changing them on the fly based on who I think is in the cabins or may not be in the cabins, that's a logistical nightmare trying to do that. The basic problem is that we have satellite internet is very, very extremely bandwidth limited. Our weekly allotment for satellite won't even cover a quarter to a third of a Netflix download. It just won't.
So,
it's just the way things are. Go ahead. I thought I heard somebody. That being the case, there's got to be rules and there's got to be limitations, and those are they.
Okay, well, and I'm saying maybe they're arbitrary rules, and me being there at New Year's, right before New Year's, may be a good indication, and I indicated that in the email I sent you, which was there were a lot of people using the internet. We had 6 adults and between iPads and iPhones and laptops. I'm curious to know how much the internet was being used. Considering the fact that no other guests were at the ranch, is it really that big of an issue, or is it just an administration issue where you're saying, I don't want to be bouncing in and off regulating how much the internet's used? If there's bandwidth available, why not make it available instead of just limiting people to their use and telling them to go out and enjoy the rest of the ranch?
Because then that would be me not enjoying my life down here, spending my day on a computer trying to figure out what's going on.
I don't know that it's a daily. I'm not talking about a daily monitoring. I'm just saying maybe seasonal, if anything else, and when we've got whatever it is. If it's heavy use, and it goes over or it gets to the limit or it gets close, then maybe that's the time to limit the use. Otherwise, why not let the bandwidth be used if it's being paid for? We don't pay by the minute or by the bit or by the whatever.
Yeah, but again, you've got to reset your thinking to away from being in the city where internet is basically like turning on the faucet, to being at the ranch where the internet is a 5-gallon bucket of water that only gets refilled once a day.
Okay, but I'm still getting back to the point of, if it's available, why not let it be used instead of hoarding the water, and you have 3 gallons left at the end of the day or at the end of the month or whatever it is, but you're just stuck in that rigid set of, no, we're only going to let the use be between 6 and 8 a.m. and p.m., and that's just the way it is, whether or not there's a drop left over or 4.5 gallons.
Because it requires too much manual intervention, Dave. It does have to be monitored daily, because during the summer, before we made the changes and segregated it all off, two people, a.k.a. Jeff and Evie, blew through the entire week's limit in one afternoon.
Okay.
It's extremely difficult to fiddle this thing to the point where you could do, and I take your point, okay, and if I had all the time in the day, every day, to watch what was going on, and I had the ability to find out from somebody, okay, well, how many people are in the cabins right now, and, well, how long are they going to be there? You know, I could adjust that, but it's just not practical.
Okay, so then I would move on to this. Like I said, us being there before New Year's 2012 would be a good indication of a lot of use, but probably not of use, no downloading of movies. I don't know what Jeff and Evie were doing where they used so much, but my question would be this. Is it worth paying someone else to monitor it? If that's the issue, or is it a one-time fee of monitoring and figuring it out so that we can readjust that? What I'm getting at is more access to the ranch, more access to the internet. People will go or not go depending on how much access they have is what I'm assuming. And I want more people to be at the ranch than less people. If having the available internet that's already there, limited, by artificial limitation, if that's what determines whether or not people go to the ranch, I think it's worth spending money to fix that problem.
Well, we're talking about, you know, not saying that it's even possible. We're talking about a lot of money to do anything for access other than have a residential satellite connection.
We're in the middle of nowhere for using the satellites anyways, and for internets. We're out there enjoying the stuff. I mean, is this going to...
Yeah, I know, and I agree. Let me make one more point, and then I'm just going to sit here, Mark.
I want to move this thing along. It sounds like it's a question of why can't we afford to do this? I mean, I'd like to get this thing moving along. We've still got a lot of things to cover today.
Yeah, one more thing, and I'll shut up. We went all the way from July till now, and nobody, and lots of people in the cabins, lots of full weekends. They all were okay with the way things were going. In fact, I got emails saying thank you for making it available,
including the email that I sent.
Yeah, I know. And well, anyway, you know, Dave, we can continue to discuss this via email if you'd like. I don't want to hold up Mark anymore.
Okay, I agree.
I mean, not just me, it's just everybody on the, everybody's chimed in. All right, anything else before we move off that item? Okay, moving on. Item number 13, report on all action items assigned out in the past 3 months. Items have been made, but some have not been completed. Item number 1, make up a list of DSR approved contractors. It says received. Or that's the second line, and so that mean Linda, we got the list.
Yeah, this is Ben. Linda has left the phone call, so I guess I'm taking minutes, and she did. I think that was referring to she does have that. I followed through and sent the one that we had used at our real estate office, and it sent her the name, contact information, and cell number of 8 or 10 others that we really don't use in Kanab but are more appropriate for up at Deer Springs. So once that comes out, I know that there's ones that other people have used that we need to add to that, but she does have that started now.
Okay, good. And as soon as we can, let's get that posted to Vance. Do we need to, the item number two is, do we need to set up an additional phone?
I think that was the discussion for a second cell phone for Kelly, wasn't it? I mean, last meeting we discussed and I thought approved to set up a second line, so I'm not sure why the question. Is Chris still there, Mark?
Yes, he is.
Are they thinking that they still need that for functionability?
I'd be fine with just about, I guess. When I come to town, I just leave the phone with Kelly, or when Kelly comes to town, she leaves the phone with me, so there's just...
I guess what he's stating, I don't know if you heard that clear enough, is when one of them comes to town or the other one comes to town, the phone still remains in the ranch house. What he's saying, I guess, is if somebody
if
has to...
You need to contact me when I go to town, then yes, we need another phone. If not, then no.
Yeah, if there's additional contact, I would say that if something came up that, say Kelly was in town and Chris says, you know what, I need this, grab this on your way, and since you're there, there's really no way to contact and chase him down. Where is Chris in town, or where is Kelly in town? There's no way to contact. So,
well, and that's where I support. I think that we probably do need to, and on most plans, we should have enough minutes, and to add that second line, if it's only going to cost another $10 a month, is well worth the money for the safety and productivity. So I will talk with Linda. I mean, and others share your thoughts, because I don't know what the idea or question, or if she's hesitating, or has had any of board members voice resistance. But like I said, I believe that the December minutes or the discussion, when I thought we did approve that.
I thought we approved it too, and that's why I'm kind of wondering here, why are we bringing this thing all back up again? I do believe she was told to get this thing, make it happen.
The only question had been, you know, do we add on to our AT&T plan, or do we get one over on the Verizon plan to see if it would have better reception in certain areas and service better? And again, if we do that, it definitely will be more than $10 a month, but...
I'm not a local person here, but I know Verizon, as far as everything else goes, I have much better reception everywhere in the United States that I go. So I don't know. You guys here would be the best local candidates to answer that question. So,
well, let me talk with her. Let me ask this question, because this was the thing, is starting a whole separate plan. Again, I don't want to get stuck too far out there, and I don't want to. You know, it definitely is nothing to benefit me, but I did change most of my plan and phones over to Verizon, but I was under contract, so I still have a AT&T plan with a couple of phones on it that when they're out of contract, I probably will cancel, but I do have a Verizon commercial plan. I think I could add one more line on that without starting a whole new thing, but, you know, it would be on my plan, and something where if I got, that credited towards my assessment, or I was reimbursed or something, I'm happy to do that if that's cheaper than if the SROA went and got their own single line.
And I think that if you're willing to do that, I think I feel, and everybody else could chime in too, but I think that'd be fine until our AT&T contract is expired, and then we can look at renewing with doing the dual system. There will be times when somebody's going to go to St. George or to Cedar, and it'll be good times to get a hold of them for safety and for economical reasons. So.
Right.
All right.
Hey, this is Joe in Las Vegas. I got a comment.
Okay.
Yes, Joe.
I've got an AT&T phone, and my wife's got a Verizon. I have a Verizon. My two kids have Verizon. My AT&T phone will outwork the Verizon 10-1 any place on the ranch.
Well, and that's what I've wondered, somebody that's up there, because I do know up in Alton, I was up there for a week at summer camp this year, and again, I had my Verizon iPhone and my boy's AT&T, and in that canyon, his AT&T would roam into towers, because it is kind of a local thing. So if it's around Kanab, over to St. George, Verizon is 10 times better. at Deer Springs, I think the AT&T is better, but if we have one already that's kind of dedicated in the ranch house with that good antenna and reliable service, that's where we need to have Chris help decide where is the use of this phone, because if it's to be safety around the ranch, AT&T is better. If we're doing good with radios and the AT&T phone in the ranch house and it's to be consistent between Kanab and Johnson Canyon and those areas, then Verizon will be far better. It's location specific.
I'm going to agree with that 100%. I mean,
yeah, I've been to the upper cabins. I've been to the top of the hill by Fred Searle's place. I've been on my place. I cannot use Verizon in any one of those locations, but I can use AT&T at all of them.
Dale, what were you finding? Because I know you guys had tried out some up at your cabin and up on the hill above Pipeline.
Larry says AT&T is better. Verizon works over at Podunk.
Okay. Well, and that's right. I think that around the ranch, AT&T probably is better. But, again, we have an AT&T phone. Is this next line one to be used?
We don't pack an AT&T phone up into us while we go clean the cabins, though. I mean, it's
what's reason. That?
We don't pack phones when we go up to clean the cabins or work on the pipeline.
We
pack a radio with us. So, there again.
Well, and that's what, if we're using radios on the ranch, the AT&T phone there is the, you know, the home phone in the ranch house, pretty much hooked up to the Wilson antenna, and this second line we're talking is more to bring to town, then I still think that Verizon would be best, but...
let's give that a try since you got the room on your commercial account just to do it, and let's see what happens.
Now, I'll look into costs and see what it is and work that out with Linda and Chris and
it is on our contract with AT&T, and let's revisit that at another meeting.
Okay.
next item on there is who will research and get approval on land site or on site landfill? I want to think that Ben, weren't you going to do something with that?
Yeah, I it was discussed and stuff. I think that it really needs to meet with the. With Niall Willis, Western Kane County Special Service District, but I think I brought that up and something I still think for saving money and stuff we should, go through, so.
I think so. I think that'd be good, a big savings for our budget items, definitely.
Well, I'll coordinate with that with Chris. Chris, if you can, remind me, because if it's a matter of we can ever get, Niall or if their inspector is here in Kanab to go up to the ranch, that's where they really need to meet with Chris, kind of look at two or three possible locations that again, Dale could line out, areas. We were just talking about getting away from any of the open, dry wash water sources that may throw, spread stuff downstream and get into a side canyon or a low spot that we could dig and create, an actual landfill and see if it's appropriate. But I will email right now, since I'm at my office, that's why I'm here, Niall, and see what the rules are.
And Ben, I can contact Niall, too, and make a...
Yeah, I think you guys are in touch some, so let's both work to try to follow up on that.
Okay, good. Next item, sign is on upper and lower gates. Kelly's painting that. It was on Chris's report, so. Yeah, you're right.
What's you
going to
paint?
That was different. I'm sorry. That was different. Signage on the upper and lower gates. Yeah. She wrote down here Kelly for some reason. There says there's a right below it says exact wording and proper and appropriate size, approximate size was where we're looking at to make these signs. And I think that was the signs to say...
Yeah, what happens is people get lost. They pass the metal canyon turnoff. You want a sign right there at that junction stating that this is the metal canyon turnoff.
It's going to be a metal canyon sign is what Chris has reminded me.
That's not
right.
For a gate.
No, but where? Yeah, well, I was thinking about the upper and lower gate, about the.
Well, we were actually talking about doing one right there where there's already a sign saying lock gate ahead and stuff, where you turn off the county road at the airstrip, but it's not very well readable. And then another one, possibly at the DSR gate, but one out on top at Crawford Pass. just saying, you know, again, it was a question of if we're locking the gate. If not, right at the DSR gate at the north and the airstrip at the south, just saying, passing through private property by permission, please act accordingly, monitored by camera, do not leave this road without permission.
We find out our minutes from last month. I think we discussed all the wording on all that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and again, for that to actually be readable and stuff, I think it's still got to be almost, you know, cut out vinyl on a metal sign versus a hand painted. Again, if we get big enough, we can, and we want it big enough that it is more visible and seeable than some that we have now.
There's somebody in Kanab here that does the vinyl signs.
Yeah, they do. I just ordered some from these guys that had one. And I was expecting it to be $50, and they billed me like $13.50.
Okay, good. I was gonna say,
again, it was
that.
Just for the vinyl because I was sticking on a glass door or window, but
okay.
it was way more than reasonable.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can continue to follow through with that. See when we can make these things happen here, especially during our slow time.
Mark, let me ask a question, and I apologize. This really is something I should have got with you, and it's under the road issue and stuff. We discussed this before as far as getting a unified policy on people passing through the ranch. You know, we've kind of evolved this way. But I was approached, and we, you know, in working with the BLM, if we get your committee together and meet with them on the Title Fives and kind of get a comprehensive plan with them and the Forest Service, but Dirk had asked me as far as Kane County Commissioner, because they are working with the Dixie National Forest and signing a memorandum of understanding of, and the question is to, you know, the association and something that may need the board approval or even an annual meeting approval of the member or whatever, but if we're going to allow people through there, with you know, on a trial basis and try to see if we can keep them contained to the Meadow Canyon Road. Above the ranch, there's that area of the Coral Pink, the Pink Cliff Loop, and that bad road section for whatever 3-4 miles between the DSR gate and Crawford Pass and the restrooms rest stop up there that is, you know, in horrible repair. And the Forest Service does not have the equipment or has not done really anything to maintain that. Where that is in Kane County, the county has now, is asking and committed, and had discussions with the Forest Service. They're working out, a couple of forest roads that they will maintain at their cost as long as the county, the forest agrees to keep them open because they keep talking about you know, they're not safe, so they're just going to go ahead and close them. So they're working through that, and he was asking to bring up with the board if we would sign a, like I said, not an easement, not make it a county road, but an agreement that they could come through the ranch because they are not going to haul equipment all the way around to Tropic and back down to, you know, maintain that 10 miles of road up there or something. If they can come up through the ranch, they would, and it may be once a year, they would just, you know, the county blade the Meadow Canyon Road going up and run those roads and coming back. But they would maybe go up and put a culvert in where there by Chicken Spring it washes out to where you can't get across it unless you're in a Jeep. And do we want to encourage that, or is that a problem?
I've always been... And that's just my personal thing. I've always been in agreement that if they will maintain those upper roads right there, that they could maintain our roads through the ranch, too, and save us a lot of money and do us a lot of benefit. But
yeah.
That's my opinion. I'm getting some yes nods around the room here. I do have Larry back in the room, and he has a lot to do with the roads, too, and he's...
matter of they need to be almost trained to not destroy what we've built.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, I think that they would be completely open. We can even put in the wording of the document that any of our private road, you know, they have to grade it to our specs and standard that we show them, whatever they do on the forest is their deal. But it really is a whole crew, couple of days to on years like it was a couple of years ago with chainsaws to cut the fallen trees and open that up in the spring. And so, as weather permits, sometime as soon as they could get up through there, which again would be after everything's melted off down through Meadow Canyon, they would open that and grade that loop. Maybe, like I said, just once a year, they would go in with a front end loader or whatever and install culverts 1 year. And they're willing to have, you know, the county attorney, you know, write up a document for us to review. We would have to modify it until we're happy with it and approve it. But, if, you know, I didn't, you know, make a motion to pursue that, and if the board is in unanimous agreement to do that, I will report back and so we can bring a document to look at or even have them attend our next meeting to answer questions, and see where they are. Cause it's tied in, like I said, with several other areas where, you know, up on Cedar Mountain and stuff that are still Dixie National Forest that they're pushing to, get approval and keep open. But, you know, there's been times the last 10 years where very few people, unless you were on an ATV, could even do the Pink Cliff Loop.
Even on ATV sometimes. I would second that motion with the one thing added on that if, in doing so, and in the proposal to write up with, I think Dirk talked about this before, is we have some kind of signage, like we said.
Right. Well, that's what got me. They would then pay for, you know, we may still do something, but as far as getting permission from the forest and actually putting a nice sign, clear out on top that's in the middle of the forest, they would negotiate that as part of their agreement, that they would be allowed to sign it and explain that, you know, there is private property ahead, you know, gate may be locked during a hunting season, and so that, you know, that way it's, you know, it would be their budget to build it and maintain it. I don't want to go and try to, you know, I don't think we can get a sign on forest without a written agreement, and I don't want to take the time to work through that.
Well, one other little stipulation on that would be, I mean, if they're going to do that, open that up, that's not to send all of the foreigners that get lost up through there to the Bryce Canyon, correct? Because that's a lot of traffic.
Well, again, it would be something to you know, explain, you know, private ranch, remote property ahead, or, you know, to indicate that, you know, you have so many miles to Deer Springs Ranch. If you're looking for Bryce, turn around.
And I think that signage needs to be in the turn off to Scootumpaw.
Yeah.
In your reply to Dirk. Or
okay. Well, we can read. Yeah. There's the end of the pavement to also explain. If your GPS is telling you this is good path, turn around. And we could put that in there so that the wording of the signs that they will build and maintain is in this document, and also that we have the right to cancel it on it with a, you know, a good, you know, maybe even a 1 year notice or something. It's not anything critical, but if we start running into serious problems and say this just isn't working, I do think that we need to be able to have a, you know, if they're running it once a year, they've invested a certain amount of work and maintenance to fix it up. But if it's not working and we say, hey, we need to discontinue this next year, that we could cancel it, and they don't say, hey, we've spent lots of money, you know, to
second
we'd be damaged.
I'll second that motion. So we got
okay.
The first and second for me. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Then yes, good report on that one. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Last item here is review insurance. Did we get a chance to review any insurance?
I'm not sure. I did not get involved, so I'm not sure that Linda, what she's done on that.
Right. Well, we'll leave that that issue will be tabled to follow back through on a another action item for the next month meeting.
Okay, Mark?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, that issue was put on hold until we did get Chris his driver's license. So now that that's done, we can talk with the insurance company.
Okay. Thank you for catching on that. Any other requested items on the agenda need to be discussed at this time?
May suggest one. In Kane County for last year, 30 of our lot
taxes to the county was not paid. So that's quite a high number to have 30 lots delinquent in that area. Maybe that'll tell us something, maybe it won't. And then secondly, we talked a little bit about challenging the county our taxes up there are higher than they should be. And with proper study, I think the taxes could be lowered. I don't know if anybody is interested in...
I'm interested.
Protesting the taxes.
Yes.
There is a letter that came out protesting the association fees this last week. But the taxes, we pay a lot of taxes and have no services. So whether there's a committee that would concentrate on the county and taxes, we went through two different tax protests in earlier years, took it to the state, and won both cases. And maybe it's time to look at it again and talk about protesting the taxes on the area.
Dad?
I'd like to see more.
I think that we're all in favor, and now that we do have some documentable sales in this lower market at substantially lower costs, we just need to turn over a copy of those HUD statements to Linda Alderman and see if we need to do a blanket, review or a, and if she'll do that in, because they do a 5-year review. If DSR land is up for review this year, or if we have to do a written form on each one. The question I've had more and more, when the county came and they did change the zoning to forest recreation, and they voluntarily, they made the decision to pull all the 20-acre individual lots off of Greenbelt. You know, forever and ever, our tax was $1, and then we went to this $100, and now that's escalated to all of us are paying somewhere around $180, $190. Is it worth, or does the membership and association want to go through the argument that if people have fenced off their lot and have built a home on it, or whatever, then, they're really using it as a recreation. Until then, the only value of most of our individual lots is the free-range grazing that is being provided and leasing out and raising money for the association budget on Doug Hunt's. I'm working through two other properties right now with Linda to put them back on Greenbelt, and I think that we could win that, across the board for everybody, unless once they build on it, they may have to pull off 1 acre off Greenbelt and leave the other 19 on a Greenbelt status, or turn in a copy of our Hunt lease. You know, every time it sells, you have to reapply. Again, we'd be dealing with a 5-year rollback if you pulled it off. But you talk, 300 lots at $180 a lot. Talking $54,000 a year we're paying in taxes that could be totally avoided if we put them back on Greenbelt.
That's the reason I bring the question up, because I think that logic could be heard by in a protest, and other people are doing it, and should we?
I think we should.
Well, and we just reviewed this PCNR saying, if anyone in member wants to not graze their lot, it's their responsibility to fence it off and use it however they want. That would, cancel them out of the ability to have it under our grazing lease, and, then they would, it would have a tax consequence to them. But if not, our CCNRs already say that we as association have the right to graze their property together with everything else as an overall working cattle ranch. So I think that we can easily make the case and win the case to put all the lots back on. And any one member that says, I don't want to be on, say, fine, call Linda and take it off. They'd be happy to take your money.
For those not on record, not understanding, it kind of caught me off guard there too, Ben. reclassify Linda as Linda Little?
Linda Little, the Kane County Assessor. Sorry.
Just in case other people on the recording device.
Yeah. Not Linda. Linda Little with the Kane County Assessor, who makes those decisions and would help determine the tax status or who would hear our protest.
Thank you. Whatever you can do to help put that thing together, if somebody wants to ramrod this, I would like to join in on a crusade to protest.
Well, if we make a motion, I am going to meet with Linda this next week, and I ask her, or again, Dad, you know the logic, and we're successful before in explaining and stuff on the sales price that they see, that half that's the land and half is the membership, and based on what has sold, then definitely they're over taxing all of us, even if it's not on Greenbelt. So, you may want to talk and, you know, with her.
I met with Linda last week on that very thing and told her that we could document the membership portion, and we need to pull the paperwork and visit with her on it. I'll help out some on that.
Okay, so was that a motion that you made originally to challenge this and work through that?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Dale and seconded by Mark.
Did we push through with this? Yes.
Okay.
Does anybody want to second it?
I'll second it.
Dale seconds it. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, and Dale will follow through for us. All right, any other items need to be brought up on this agenda to discuss at this time? All right, then I'm going to go ahead and our next meeting will be February 9th, 2012. The meeting place will be at the Zions Bank basement in Kanab. That will be at 8 a.m.? 9. Let's continue at the 8 a.m. At that time. So we can post that for our next meeting, if you would, Vance.
Will do. Making a note to myself as we speak.
Thank you, sir. With that, it is now 1:38.
Okay, Mark, yeah. Let me ask real quick. So we set the next meeting for the 9th at 8 a.m. Are we designating the first hour or any portion of that to have our third meeting on the restrictions?
You know what? Good point, Ben. I would think we should let's do that hour and continue on, and let's just have the regular the other meeting start at 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Perfect.
That way we'll have one meeting in between then, and we'll be nipping away at this thing as we go. And for those, we could post that out there, because anybody like Joe and Candace that would like to come out that have been involved on this meeting, Phil Hall, so forth, let's make sure that they know that we'll have that first hour designated on that meeting schedule, please, Vance.
Yeah, will do.
Okay. With that in place, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to a closure. We will then go to our executive meeting. Is there anything that needs to go before I let everybody off? Is there something that everybody knew about that we needed on an executive meeting? All right.
So are you guys going to go to executive now?
Ask around before we let everybody disconnect or not.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen. I started the conference, so when I disconnect, you guys are all going to get disconnected.
That's what I need to find out right now. Is there anything else before? And if not, we're going to go ahead and just end this conference.
Right, but you're going to have to start it again.
I understand, but let me just ask this. Yes or no, is there anything that needs to go on executive session directly following this that we need to restart this program?
Are you saying do we need an executive session, or are we just going to call back in to have that?
I'm stating, do we need to call back in to have an executive session at this time? Is there any matter from the board that need to be that we know we need to discuss them at this time?
Yeah.
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 About that bankrupt or.
Yeah, I think that we need to at least. The board needs to know what has happened so far. I'm just looking at Linda's notes if she put on there, and again, she was going to be the one to kind of go through that. I know some of it, but we do need to make a decision on the two bankruptcies.
Without going any further into that, let's go ahead and.
You need the moderator's code. I am back on.
Oh, there you are.
But I'm not at my desk. I'm down at the Beehive. But you need a moderator's code. So I would suggest that you just invite everybody else to leave and let Vance leave it open if he's willing.
Well, Vance says he started this meeting, so we're going to have to break the whole meeting and dial in.
And that's true if he hangs up, but he's got a moderator's code that you need if you're not going to.
Email that to somebody, Ben, if you want to run it, or Linda, if you want to run it.
At my computer.
Yeah,
I'm at mine. If you want to shoot it to me, I'll reopen it and everybody call back in on the same number and code, right?
Yes.
Okay. As soon as I get it, I'll start it.
All right, and then the robo voice is complaining about it taking too long anyway, so this would be a good time to stop.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Jody here.
Hello.
Is this Linda?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, do I sound really bad?
You know what? It's got a little bit of a tinny echo to it.
Yeah, this is not a good connection.
Ooh. Are you and I the only ones on?
So far.
And how did we do this without Ben being on first? I'm confused.
I don't know. But it worked.
Interesting. That's interesting.
I think I'm going to call back and try again, see if I can get a better connection.
Okay.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, it is.
Did something happen with your mom?
Yeah, she's not doing well, and she wouldn't get her teeth in, and she wouldn't eat. And they called me somewhere around 11, and I thought, well, they went ahead and gave her some things to drink, but she got to where she's trying to get out of bed and stuff, wanting to eat, so can't pick them down.
Okay.
We're okay. We're okay. I'm here still. I'm here now, so.
Okay. Hello, whoever came on.
That's me. I'm here. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Just me and Linda and Dave.
Hello.
kind of waiting for Ben and Dale and Mark. So do you at least have sunshine up there, Linda?
Say it again.
Do you at least have sunshine up there today?
Semi.
Oh, semi?
It's an Apache cloud, like an Apache Junction, like Apache sky. Yeah, you know, it's not really very sunny at all. It's only about 30 outside now.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's cold.
I know it was like 33 degrees when I got home last night from work at 7.
Hmm.
I'm like, that's cold for here.
Yeah, it is.
Not too far off from up there. Now, what did you guys
do? No, yeah, it is far off because it got down in the single digits last night up here.
Oh, did it? 10, okay. Ooh.
10 after the sun came up, so.
Dave, you're in Salt Lake, aren't you?
I am. I'm about 30 minutes south of Salt Lake.
So how cold are you up there?
I don't know what the temperature is. It's been really hazy, foggy, cloudy, yucky for, I mean, the one of the worst inversions in the country here is along the Wasatch Front, and it just added to the coldness. And it's supposed to be 25, 30 degrees, which slows things down for my business because if things aren't dripping, running, you know, water flowing, things are frozen solid, people act like, you know, it's not an issue. They'll leave the leak until it starts, you know, leaking again, kind of a thing. So it's been freezing for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's messy up there, too, with the snow and everything, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I was on the freeway from Ogden yesterday for probably a trip that would take me an hour. Took me easy 2.5 hours.
Oh, no.
That's where lake effect is, too.
That's right. Yeah, there were 2.5 feet of snow in Bountiful and Centerville.
Wow.
And that's probably 18 inches was new.
Hmm. Crazy.
Yeah, but we like the moisture. We live in a desert.
Yes, of course.
We like the moisture.
I like it hot in the spring.
You're high desert where you live?
Are you asking us? I mean me?
Yeah, are you high desert?
I don't know. Are we?
What's your vegetation?
Pavement and trees, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, what used to be around here, it was scrub oak, sagebrush and scrub oak is what we have in the foothills.
Oh, so that's kind of like the ranch.
Yeah, it's very much the same. It probably gets hotter and colder at the ranch, but it's pretty close to the same. The ranch is a little higher than we are. We're at 6,000, that's 7,000 something.
Uh-huh. Oh. Very interesting.
I wonder if those guys are on a different conference call.
I wonder.
It shouldn't be if they called the same number. Maybe they went
out. I was asking Linda, how does it,
there's somebody.
Hello.
Oh, there's Dale.
This is Dale.
The host has joined the conference.
Okay, so
the host is joined.
What are we doing now? Okay.
Is Ben there?
Hello?
Yes. Are you? Is that Ben?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here. Yes.
I'm not getting a good reception.
Who is this? Is this Mark?
I'm
right
here. Ben.
Oh, Ben. Oh, yeah. It sounds very tinny.
Yeah, let me hang up and see if I can't dial back in. If it hangs you up, you're going to have to dial back in. But this is not going to work.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Everybody else is still there, right?
That was, yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, that was strange. You're clear, but he was, like, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to swallow his food after he chews.
He had that line I had in the beginning.
Yeah, Linda was like that at the very beginning, too, today.
The host has joined the conference.
Oh, the host is back, and yet we all stayed on. That's pretty good.
Hello?
Yep.
Hey. No, that's
better. Okay, that's much better.
That's much, much better.
Okay, so it didn't cut you guys off anyway when I hung up.
No.
Matter of fact, it's the host is now coming back online. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, okay, so let's go. That is different than he thought, obviously.
Yeah.
Except for we were here before you came on, so that might have had a difference, but I'm not sure how we were able to come on before you were there because you're the host. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so is Linda back online?
I am.
Okay. You had some things on that we needed to discuss on this exec session
two letters and then the Beasley bankruptcy. I've dealt with the lawyer that is on the bankruptcy account, on the Beasley account, and had to get a protest up to Salt Lake. I'm not sure if the judge up in Salt Lake agreed to it or accepted it, but the lawyer that is on the Beasley case accepted it, and he said that means we need to be at a hearing in February to present our claims and what we have against that lot. So that situation is why we need to have another lawyer if we're going to have him go with us or decide if we're going to represent ourselves. I've been to a bankruptcy court for my mother. Somebody declared bankruptcy and she had a claim in that needed to be done. So I've done that once. I wouldn't say I'm proficient at it, but I have been through the process once. So other than that, I don't know what else you want to know about that case. I think some of you know quite a bit, but that's all I know.
It will be in Salt Lake?
St. George.
No, it's in St. George.
Okay.
So, Linda, we really don't need to say anything other than explain what you already wrote to them, correct?
Yes. Before the court.
So, I think that if we do get a chance, if there's something that we need to talk with Ed with or whatever, we can do that. If you're able and willing on that date, to go down, but again, we definitely need to possibly up and above what your normal thing is to compensate you, and definitely for your travel time and stuff is driving to St. George for the day is outside of your current employment.
What all
be appreciated,
needs to
be said, but I can do that if you want me to and trust me to represent the ranch.
What did we send off to the attorneys that they said we need to be there to tell them? What was put out there?
Basically saying that the amount that was represented as owed to the ranch was not the correct amount. It was a misunderstanding and I gave them the correct amount that is owed to the ranch on this bankruptcy. So, and that we wanted to make sure that they knew that. So. Which is a $3,000 difference, so that's quite a bit of money.
Okay.
So from what I understood from Linda, and I got the notice that mailed to DSROA and that she got an email from Kimball Forbes that went to the whole board, was, you know, there is the proposed sale and a contract offer that they've accepted, and in that document they're hanging on paying DSROA $1,600 or something, and Linda has updated the account to include assessments through the end of 2012 plus accrued interest plus attorney's fees, and it's more like $4,500, $53 or something.
Yeah, I don't have the amounts in front of me.
And so, you know, the association's options was by the 27th of December to either accept $1,600 or to protest the sale or to put in a competing bid to buy the lot. And so I think Linda, you know, talked to the attorney and sent a letter saying this is what we're owed. We're happy for the sale to go through if we get paid in full. If not, then consider this our protest or whatever. I don't know the wording.
That's correct.
And something to that effect, and so it was already then and you know, the notice I got said, if you protested or put in a bid, you know, if there's no other protest or bid, we'll close and, you know, and finish the sale. If there is, if you put in a bid
or we get any other competing bids, or there's a protest, then there'll have to be a live hearing in St. George on February 7th. And so have you heard anything from the attorney or the bankruptcy
yes.
court since then, or you're just going from that original notice?
When he got the information, he said then there will be a hearing in St. George on this date. And so I haven't heard anything since that.
You don't have a time and a location and...
I'm pretty sure it was on that letter that I got. I wish I had it in front of me, but I'm at the Beehive, so.
Well, I can find the paper copy that came, that was mailed. I still have laying here somewhere, but. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about, Linda, or somebody being there in person, I guess, to just say, we told you this in letter, and I'm here to say the same thing.
Right. I would follow up if I do not hear from him to make sure that we're on the docket.
And then it comes to the judge's decision whether he's going to honor that, award it, award part of it, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, the bankruptcy court has the final decision to agree what will be paid or not, I guess.
It's true.
That starts the high end. See what the judge negotiates down that then, I guess.
What's that?
Then I guess we have everything included at the highest end and then let the judge negotiate it. It's better to tell the judge $500 than to tell and have him offer you $3,000 than have you offer $3,000 and get $1,600.
Right.
All right. I'm fine with that. We need to make So are we going to have to make a motion to send Linda or somebody, if somebody else want to volunteer outside of Linda to do this? Or we just want to have Linda?
Let me ask one other question for those that live in town. And just in case Linda couldn't do it or she wasn't available to do it, is there any kind of, legal assistant that, paralegal? That would do that for us, too, without having to send an attorney if Linda can't go.
Well, I think if Linda can't go, that I possibly would be able to go. I don't know. I don't know that I can legally do that. I mean, Barry, as an attorney, is
right.
tied to a different thing. But,
conflict
you know,
of interest.
The conflict where Clarkson Investment is the buyer, and I am a member of Clarkson Investments also, that probably is not appropriate for me to be there.
Okay. Right.
Could we have to?
I don't think there will be a problem, but we would have to move it forward, change the date.
Did Bill ask a question? Did everybody hear it?
I didn't.
No.
I said, would it simplify things if I withdraw my offer to buy that lot?
Oh, I don't know that it will simplify anything on the disposition of the lot. It would probably cancel the 7th hearing.
And the cash flow to DSROA.
No, we just have to wait longer until we get it.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, Linda, do you think that you can go on the 7th?
The 7th is my birthday.
Oh.
Put me in St. George for a celebration.
Well, like I said, we need to pay your gas down there.
Then you just big town, huh?
All expenses paid.
I think that if that works, it's our best thing. Again, if, you know, Ed may be down there. That's where he practices the other 2 days a week. So it may not be a trip for him if he's down there.
That would be good to check on.
Well, you're going to be speaking with him anyway. You can ask him what the.
Well, yeah. This was the critical or the time right. restraint deadline. So we can work that out. And if neither is going to work, we can email and see what next alternative is. But yeah, I'm sure there's a paralegal or something from. A dozen law firms down there that if it's, you know, they don't need any prep once we've made a decision to say, show up, you're authorized to say this.
Yeah, just let it be a record that I'm willing to go if you choose to do that after speaking with the attorney.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. We have a good one.
You don't need me for the other two items, do you?
Well, you need to tell us what they are.
I emailed them to you. It was the letter from, it was that letter from, Skywood, Flywood, you call it. It was Woodruff complaining about Cabin 7 and the assessments and how nothing's happening that they can see and so on. And the same from Mr. Stimson. Mr. Stimson also complained. And the reason it's mentioned is because we need to reply to them.
Well, I think we can talk through that and stuff, Linda, if you have stuff to go to. You could go off. Now that I remember, on J.C. Stimson, I know him, and again, I don't know that he wrote a letter. I mean, he didn't write a letter or request anything. He put a note of complaint, you know, let me be on record that I pay my assessment under protest because I don't see a lot of improvement. I've talked with people that will talk to him to say, if you're unhappy with what you've paid the last year for what you've got the last year, you've got to be unhappy with what you paid the last 10 years for what you've got the last 10 years. So, he was not requesting, anything. And, I'm not sure that requires or deserves any response, that way. I will talk to him personally when I see him and try to ask him if he has something further, but.
What he put on that for those who didn't see it or pay attention to it, I had to look at it twice. I read it a few different times, actually. It was a Merry Christmas across the top, and then he resent that letter that he wrote. He said, "As after my stay last fall."
No, this was, that's why I said, I was going to the other guy. J.C. Stimson was the short one that just, on his invoice, he paid his assessment and just said, I want it noted, I'm paying this assessment by protest because I don't think I'm getting my money's worth, or I don't see what I'm getting my money's worth. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
The other one you're talking about is the longer letter that he was resending, complaining that he thinks that... So on J.C. Stimson, do we agree that we don't even respond?
Well, Ben, let me ask this. What if you got 20 letters from people saying, my road is not... So I get to my lot, therefore
well,
I resist paying the assessments until my road is usable.
And
he paid. He didn't resist. He just didn't.
Right, and that's the thing. I think anybody that has a specific need, we need to address. If they ask a specific question, we need to answer their question. If they, say they aren't paid, we need to address that. J.C. Stimson, like I said, I know him. I've talked with not directly with him, and I will. He was just wanting to kind of say, hey, I don't see what I'm getting for my money the last year. I'd like to see more things. So, whether since then he got his newsletter, if that let him know some of the stuff that was happening or whatever, if we get 20 people saying the same thing, we need to address it. I just don't think that we should respond to J.C. Stimson's thing unless we send a generic, response to saying, hey, we got your comment duly noted. That will be taken under advisement as we make decisions. Thank you for your input.
Well, that probably would be perfect, Ben. Something like that so that they know they've been heard and they know they've been verified, and we go on from there.
And I can do that.
That's lovely.
Okay.
Response.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do that. Then on the other one, Woodruff is the one that had several more comments. He actually wrote a letter. And shared concern about Cabin 7, I think, and that
yes.
The quality of the cabins and the ranch overall was degrading, and he had a specific complaint. What was it, Linda?
I've got it right here for me to read it.
Yeah.
Oh, he wanted, no, the first clarification was, and I didn't go back and reference the winter newsletter, but in there was reported about improvements to water systems, and that's where we need to respond to him and clarify which water, where was that? I don't know, Dad, if you wrote a report on water board or what was in the newsletter talking about water system?
Just said that we'd plowed in, I think 5,500 feet and done some development. But the simple answer on that is those are water companies.
Right.
The association did not.
Right, and that's what he was saying. If that was any of, if the association funds are funding a private water system that doesn't improve my lot, I object. So that's where we need to respond and just clarify. We were just letting you know some of the improvements that are happening. Those are private water systems, privately funded, and have nothing to do with the association budget.
Right.
Can I
just write that real quick, too, while you're sending that letter out? Linda?
Okay. I can do that.
Then I don't remember you going to read and address his complaint on the cabins, but that was the first thought that I thought, he deserves to have that clarified so we're not getting misinformation.
Yeah, he didn't give any information about what was wrong with Cabin 7. He just mentioned that, so.
We can just have a general thing to say, we appreciate your feedback. We will, the new caretakers are coming up to speed and for overall, we're getting, excellent reports on their productivity and work, and they will look into that. And we hope that, with the direction of the board and the new staff, we'll have better quality than this next year. We acknowledge that there was a lot of things that degraded during this last year with the turnover of the manager up there.
Okay.
With that, Jody, you have his letter. Will that address all of his questions or concerns?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Just the report, and I think that you did get the report on those financial things that we did get the collection from Paul Brayton on the freezer, money he promised to pay. It was after the year, and so... I told him he had to include 18% interest since the end of the year, because that was the deal, and so he has paid that, and then the other bankruptcy lot now has closed through that Bob Allen bought, and that was calculated the correct and full payoff, including attorney fees, so we got that check that was over $5,000.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's going to take up that 2,000. Yeah.
Linda, so I can add that to the budget. How much was the freezer? $300 plus? What was it? Do you remember?
Oh, it was
305.
Say it again?
305.
Okay. All right.
Well, I thought Ben told me it was 301.80.
Yeah, it was 301.05. It was only a few days, so if you calculate 18%, I calculated it and ran it for 7 days late. It was like a dollar extra. But again, that's what the contractor agreement called for, and he even said, well, I don't think, we never even signed an agreement, that Linda had prepared and sent to him, and I confirmed with Linda that she's not sure that she got it back, and I just said, I don't care. I'm the one that worked the agreement with you, and that's the agreement you and I had, and that's what's going to get enforced, whether you signed a piece of paper or not. And he did agree, so we finished it.
So the check was for $305.
$301.05.
$305.
In cash.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
All right, guys. Good meeting.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I move we adjourn. I'm going to second that motion.